Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Boy, interesting show planned for you guys today. We get into a little Oscar recap. Brian takes the cold plunge into my swimming pool. I have a very long and sexually graphic discussion with Trisha Paytas, who's a media personality and very interesting girl. Talk all about being an escort and well beyond. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Predator, the thief, malware is back. It can steal usernames, passwords, browser data, cryptocurrency, as well as taking photos with the infected victim's webcam. Oh, boy, put that ripe sticker over that webcam thing, or how about you get some LifeLock, people? It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft is another serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. You can miss identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock, which detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have a problem because you'll have LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for up to 25% off.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, YouTube sensation Trisha Paytas. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, he's ready to drink until next morning. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. You get it on now. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love when you hit the share button. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
That was me in your pool.
Oh, yeah. We got Brian taking a dip in the pool.
A lot of shrinkage.
Saw.
And how.
Saw Dawson Friday night at Alan Parsons. That was a great show.
You can't get away from us.
No. I went out. I did a set at the Comedy Store on Friday night about 8:15. Did 15 minutes. Alan was due to hit the stage about 9. Ooh. I drove down the hill from Sunset down to the Saban. where we did the Baldwin roast and made it there about, so I got out of, did 15 minutes about 8:15, 8:17 or something. They keep it pretty tight over there. Got the hell out of there about 8:35, 8:37. Had a small conversation in the parking lot of a guy wanting to know why I if I tune pianos and sure. How much. And I didn't.
So I'm not a Hollywood star. Can I still get my piano tuned?
I didn't really have that much time because the guy worked at the Comedy Store wanted to know what was going on. So it was holding me up. I will say this. God, I wish more people had this. I don't want this subject to ever come up again, Gene, which is ever since I was reprimanded for doing 22 minutes in a 15-minute slot, I've been crazy.
You've been doing 14 and change?
Yeah, I'm
bringing my phone out there with me and tapping it all the time, staring at it. I'm wearing a wristwatch now. Like, my greatest fear is having the same conversation with the same person about the same subject more than once. And yet, I meet people that are absolutely immune to that fear. Absolutely. I mean, it is of no never mind to them. And as a matter of fact, if you bring that kind of thing up again, at some point, they get angry.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but it is. Mm. And why
it's strong.
Why is that?
It's born into you, man. Either you either care about the clock or you don't. That's a metaphor, I imagine, for how you live your life.
I mean, I've had it beaten out of me since childhood. I think people can be coached up.
I think it's instilled in you. Kids do not care about the clock. Tessa doesn't give a shit. She has no idea of time. What? It's time for school? Yes, it's time for school. That gets burned into you early.
But not. I'm obviously not just talking about the clock. I just mean the same conversation, regardless of the clock. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I guess so. I was thinking the clock was like a metaphor for like...
Yeah, clock is a metaphor for everything.
Right.
Yes. And I just never want to have that conversation. I never want someone to start a conversation with me where they go, hey, man, remember we talked about...
Hey,
and
I know,
now it's,
I, know I told you
again.
A few times, but...
Right. I hate it.
I
had this... look, Olga works for me, and if she says something to me, like the garage door was unlocked when I came home, did you leave the garage, or you're eating... cherries. I mean, all these cherries, and I always have this bad habit of like putting the pit out like on top, and she goes, no, you don't put the pit on top of the counter. It's disgusting. I was like, okay, never going to happen again. Like,
yes, ma'am.
I don't want to get busted.
Yeah.
So I guess either when this thing comes up, you either get scared or you get angry. A lot of people I know get angry.
Yeah, indignant.
No, you should get a cold sweat.
Yeah,
that's the right response.
And then this should never happen again.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well,
if people around you start off a lot, whether they're coworkers or bosses or whatever, if they start off a lot of conversations with you with, hey, man, I've told you a few times, but that's not a good sign. Your life is going in the wrong direction. I'm going to talk about like your shoes untied.
Again, if you hear the words, write this down. You should be writing this. Yeah. If you hear people saying to you, write this down, it means you've fucked up and screwed the pooch.
Enough times.
You've earned it.
And again, if you ever hear, the movie starts at 8, but 8 means 8.
Yeah.
8
Heart
is 8. 8. Yeah. It is 8. They won't let us in the arc light if we get there like 8, 10. If people are saying that to you, something's going wrong. If they're going, write this down, repeat back to me what I... Mm-hmm. Take a little personal inventory if that happens.
If they start to map your route, you're like, you should probably leave at 7:40. that's bad.
Oh, we have friends that we've secretly turned their GPS on and had and shared their contact with us.
Oh, that's good.
It's so fun.
Oh,
so when they tell you we're right around the corner and we know you're in your bathroom, it's great.
That's good.
So
turned their GPS on.
It's great. I highly recommend it.
I got up, Yakov Smirnoff got off stage about 8:16. I love that guy.
It's
what
a
sweetheart. And then he brought me out, and then I did 15 minutes. 0.2 seconds, and then I got into a conversation about my piano sign in the parking lot, and then I made it down to the Saban about 8:46 something like that. Me and Yakov. Yeah.
When are you going to Branson?
Oh,
I can take you around. I can show you anything you want to see.
When are we going?
Yeah, exactly. I know from Branson.
Yeah, Baby Doll threatens me all the time. I'm this close to going to Branson. So I don't know if he means that in a good way or a bad way. Yeah. It's weird for me because that's where my beloved buddy, Philip the Juggler, ended up. He ended up in Branson. And I think at the time he looked at it as here's a place where entertainers go to die, you know.
Okay.
But then at some point, you know, I'd ask him, like, What do you do all day? He's like, well, I play golf with the Gatlin brothers, and then I mosey over to the theater about 7.
So you're in heaven.
Yeah. And then 45 minutes and I'll go home.
Do 25 minutes and go home. Like it's a crazy life.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is Branson big now? Is it hot now?
Has it ever gone away?
It was. There was a spot time when it was pretty
maybe in the 80s.
Pretty big, yeah.
But I mean, being from the Midwest, I still have friends that go to Branson every year.
No, I think it, I don't know when it hit its zenith, but Philip went in the 90s.
I was in the mid-90s?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think I've seen a lot of commercials for it in the mid-90s.
And I don't know, they just bus people in.
Yeah, to Silver. You go to Silver Dollar City.
On the way to jail.
I remember.
You go to the Ozarks.
At the time when Philip moved there, probably in the early mid-90s, he would talk about, like, if there was, you know, somebody was divorced, it was scandalous, or somebody was cheating or having an affair. Like, it was like a little town.
Yeah.
And they knew that. Everything of what was going on. Not the people that were bussed in.
No,
people
the
who
locals.
Just lived in Branson. I don't
the
know.
Counties.
Population of Branson, Missouri now, Max Zapata. Anyway, went and saw Alan Parsons with Dawson. I got to tell you, my Q rating is through the roof with the Parsons crowd because every second person I passed at that place was like, hey, Ace Man. So what took
crossover.
Some pictures, hung out with some people. Great show. Went out. I think there's a little bit of a halftime break. Mm. Parsons does like an hour and then takes a little intermission. Go to the back. Dawson and I are sitting in his dressing room back there. Saying hi to the man himself, a very dignified man. Great band, great sound, rare band where there's 5 guys and they can all really sing and all really play. So it was a great time. Oh, we got a picture of me and Alan Parsons back there. Then I met the drummer for Lenny Kravitz's band.
Franklin.
Big, tall, bald, drink of chocolate milk, right?
He loves cars.
And he loves cars. And he's on top of his game. So I'm like, I love cars. You want to come see my cars? They're like, absolutely. So I said, okay, so let's work it out. So we'll have him on Take. I said, well, come out, see the cars. We'll interview you on Take an E. I mean, it's an interesting guy. Obviously, if you're going to be touring the world with Lenny Kravitz, you're an interesting guy. Branson has 11,500 residents. I wonder if that's more or less than it was, you know, 20 years
ago.
It's more. It's like Jimmy Osmond, like the Osmonds are playing there, and all that stuff. So the Parsons show was great, and Dawson was great. We had a nice date night out. And
do you remember getting a shout out from the stage?
Yeah, Alan said that there'd been a request, and the request came from Dawson, but I think it came from the Adam Carolla show.
He said he didn't use my name. He just said, for the Adam Carolla show.
Right. In my mind, the way I roll, that's your shout out, and I've sort of don't remember my name because I didn't talk to him. You talked to him, even though he said my name. Right. That's Dawson's shout out because Dawson requested, I think it was Hell Is for Children by Pat Benatar.
Oh my God.
No, it was a song from the Gaudi record called La Sagrada Familia, which is the cathedral in Spain that they have been building for the past 300 years. And the song is all about, you know, the storm is over, let's get back to building. The famine's over, let's get back to building. The war is over, let's get back to building. And I just emailed Alan and said, you know, Adam's a builder, and I think he might identify with this song. Any chance you could play it? It used to be a big part of the set list.
Right.
I find out in the green room at intermission and after the show that it was a bomb dropped on the band that morning. They haven't played it in about a year.
Oh, Dawson, how could you?
And everybody had to get up there and learn it. So it's Very, very kind and generous of Alan to play it.
It was flawless, so you couldn't tell. The whole awesome. Night was a good night, and it's a good crowd, and it's a good theater, and it's great. You know, for me, by the time I got home, it was, you know, midnight. Made for a longish day, but worth it.
And Adam, I was just a scant, I don't know, mile and a half away from you while you were rocking out to Alan Parsons at the Saban. I was doing something very similar. I was at the Wiltern for Randy Rainbow Live.
Randy Rainbow Live.
Who?
I mean, Wiltern.
They're interchangeable, Alan Parsons and Randy Rainbow. He's a sort of a gay icon on YouTube that does lots of Broadway parody songs about politics.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go.
And how many tickets were sold?
I assume this is a hostage situation while you were there.
Sold out. They had to add seats for Randy Rainbow, Sean Hayes, Eric McCormick, all the ones you'd suspect were there. But he actually, I don't know if you've ever saw it. It was viral literally 10 years ago. He was the one that right when the Mel Gibson audio was leaked, he did a skit basically with Mel Gibson as his boyfriend and having that phone call with him.
Oh, did he do it like there's a guy like Dickie Goodman who used to do like Mr. Jaws. Mm-hmm. Remember those things? They'd play clips from songs and they do this weird radio announcer thing. If you looked up like Mr. Jaws and Dickie Goodman.
I don't know that one.
Oh yeah, like they'd go they'd take a clip from a Carpenter song or take a clip from a Doobie Brothers song, mm-hmm. and then he'd go, and now, Mr. Jaws, what do you think? And then they'd play right. the
clip. In the same spirit.
He'd have a conversation with the song.
Right. Right.
This is
Randy Rainbow.
We are here on the beach where a giant shark has just eaten a girl swimmer. Well, Mr. Jaws, how was it?
Oh, my!
And what did she say when you grabbed her?
Please, mister, please.
I know sharks are stupid, but what did you think when you took that first bite?
How sweet it is.
Mr. Jaws, before you swim out to sea, have you anything else to say?
All right, you get it. This is back before people had entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about what we would...
It would be another 5 years running on entertainment.
You think about what we would endure in the name of entertainment.
Gratefully.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the average 9-year-old would put up with if you showed him that, like, claymation Christmas specials or Puppimation
Rankin
stuff
Bass.
Or just weird new zoo review or just whatever.
No.
Just a crappy, badly done, unfunny, poorly conceived, poorly executed. We just sat there and went, well, what do you do?
Yeah, it's on.
It was essentially like, you're an entertainment prison. And then somebody goes, what's for breakfast? And they go, shit on a shingle. And you go, okay. What's
delicious.
For lunch? Shit on a shingle. Okay. What's for shit on a shingle. Okay. What are we doing Saturday? Shit on a shingle. And you're like, oh, give me a fork.
What?
Like, that's it.
That's what we're having.
What are we going to do? And at a certain point, I'll start looking forward to shit on a shingle because it just means lunch or dinner or something.
You love Big Brother.
There are no fucking choices. That was it. You fucking watched it. And that was that. And these guys, Mr. Jaws peaked at number 4.
Fuck.
In 1975. There was nothing else. I mean, the reason we know the name Sherwood Schwartz is because we didn't have choices. There's a Gilligan's Island. Gilligan's Island. Brady Bunch. Gilligan's Island. Oh, they play the Harlem Globetrotters and on the island. And then the Brady Kids go to Gilligan's Island. And then the robots play the Brady Kids. And it's just like schlock, junk, garbage.
What else
nothing.
We
going
to do?
You didn't know any different.
Trap.
So this is Randy Rainbow?
We didn't have Randy
Rainbow.
Well,
they have it. I'll just play you a clip of this because I think it'll jog your memory. I would say probably scroll 30 seconds in because he's establishing the premise. He's on the phone with his mom talking about this new hot guy he's in love with. And, oh, mom, I got to go. He's on the other line.
Has any relationship ever worked with you? I need a woman.
Are you excited about our first Valentine's Day?
This is a different clip, but this is fine.
And it is not going to work with us. It's not. It's over.
But
fuck you.
I could listen to this forever.
He's going to be a little late.
He's going to be a little late.
Sorry. I was thinking of a different one, but he's very funny. This is the first one where he's on the phone going, so, babe, should we just meet downtown for dinner before the party? I just want you to blow me! Okay, sure, coming over first. It's great. So I went to see Randy Rainbow.
And how was it?
It was fantastic. It was great. In fact, I tweeted him, you know, because he said he was on death's door. He couldn't hear out of one ear. Everyone's sick. And it was a
Not
fantastic
this
show.
Pool hopping motherfucker.
It was fun. And he tweeted, you know, thanks so much for coming. And it was, we just had a good time.
Paul Bryan got in the swimming pool on Saturday.
I did.
Ever.
Had an MRI this morning. My tumor's gone. Really does cure all.
You elected to do the plunge.
Oh, well, I had to do the plunge, and I had to pay off my debts, did it the first opportunity I had after the Super Bowl, which was...
But I mean elected to plunge versus sort of make your way in.
Yes.
Do the sunny way.
So, yes, my options were walk in the pool, you know, a la Sunny Carolla.
Walk in with purpose.
Walk in with purpose. I wanted it over as fast as possible, and I've always found, you know, the best way to get acclimated to what in my past was a cold pool was just jump in. Mm-hmm. So I went to the deep end and jumped right in, touched the bottom, and attempted to swim out.
Yeah, to your credit, you lingered.
That wasn't by choice.
You weren't acting like a little bitch.
So, well, that's funny you mentioned that because I was kind of bitchy. So, Adam, you do this every day. You're used to it. Maybe you're just made of tougher stock than I am. All of this could be a combination. Okay, here's what happened. I jumped in. I was like, this is like a fucking ice bath. And then my muscle started to kind of like seize up. And that could be a little bit of tumor stuff, but it's also just kind of, it was really, really cold. And I was trying to get out. And then at one point I flipped over and like backstroked out. And I was trying to talk. And I was like, or something like that. You can see it on the video. And then my first thought, I swear to you, my first thought as I'm not even out of the pool yet is... Fuck, people are going to think I'm putting this on for the camera. I am not that good of an actor. I am not that quick of a thinker. My muscles were seized. Like, I was really cold. It wasn't until I got out of the pool that I was like, oh, I can breathe.
My experience from way back in the day of jumping in cold water is you sort of hyperventilate.
Yes.
It's hard to hold your breath. And you can't breathe. You go...
Yes, that's right.
And you can't. Now, as you get... And I've been thinking about this because as you acclimate, as you do it, I go down to the deep end, I touch a drain, and I swim underwater to the shallow end.
Probably smart.
And I don't think now that I've acclimated that the question is if the pool was 85 degrees, how much further underwater could you go versus 50 degrees? And for me, not much now.
Interesting.
At the beginning, I couldn't stay under very long because you just constrict and you run out of breath like super quick. Once you acclimate, if you do it every day.
Thank you for validating that because I thought that people are going to be like, oh, he's putting off the camera. He's trying to act like it's cold. No, it was really arresting. I think
when people fall off a boat into cold water, mm-hmm. the first thing they do is sort of hyperventilate and then they drown. Right. But we'll see a little footage of Paul Bryan jumping into the freezing cold. Now, the sun is shining, but the pool's 54 degrees.
Yeah, the next day was gray and windy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, here we go. What you've been all been waiting for? The sweet dad bod.
He's going in the pool.
Christ.
It's Christy laughing.
I'll let you get set.
You're set.
YOLO, man.
He's right underneath.
He's under. He's still
it's
under.
It's all encompassing.
Popped up.
Now I'm breathing hard. Now I'm breathing
hard.
It
stings.
It stings? Yes.
It does. Stings your whole body.
He's still in.
That's really, really cold.
Yeah, it's hard to talk. It takes your breath away.
Okay. Thank you for validating that. Because, yes.
Trudging out.
My muscles are seizing.
My arms are involuntarily like this.
But you would get used to it if you did it on a daily basis.
Yeah, probably.
Somebody All had to right. play Lynette.
Sonny's filming and enjoying other people's pain. Well, it's kind of nice. Okay. I'll tell you the thing that's interesting about it. There's a lot of hazing is always fun. Hazing that involves pain sometimes means getting shocked with the
taser.
When Cousin Sal gets the taser, or having somebody draw back a long rubber band on you and snap you in the ass or whatever. Things that leave a mark.
Right.
This actually, if you look for, you know, so what you want in hazing is you want the most amount of pain minus leaves a mark.
Right.
Or injures the person.
Yeah, no danger, but
right. This
an
is
ordeal.
Maximum pain, and it's actually good for you.
Right.
So it is kind of the ultimate in haze because you inflict the all-encompassing maximum amount of pain, and it actually doesn't have any negative side effects. There you go. Now, once you dried off and got your street clothes and stuff, I imagine you were like fully awake.
Okay, so now where can the video be seen? Does anyone know?
We're putting it all over our social channels.
Okay, good.
Let's correct the record here. Not so much street clothes as Transformer bathrobe,
that's true.
But
yeah,
sure.
That is true. As soon as I got out of the pool, I was like, oh, this is a relief. I feel so good. Like, I felt like invigorated.
Right.
In the pool was excruciating. As soon as I was two steps out, I was like, oh, feels good.
Right.
Much like watching Leaving Las Vegas, I'm glad I did that once. I have no desire to do it again.
Now,
yeah.
But you would be awake if you got out of the pool.
I don't doubt that, especially first thing in the morning.
And I will tell you on days when you go to bed at 12:30 and alarm goes off at 5:45 and you have to make a flight.
It's
the most painful 3 minutes out of that, but do not drag your ass after that.
Yeah.
You are awake. All right.
Thanks for inviting me over.
My pleasure. We'll put the video up at adamcarolla.com. All right. Oscar recap, Oscar thoughts. I haven't seen Parasite.
Hmm.
I've seen
two things you hate: foreigners and reading.
In
class
that order.
Warfare.
Was it that good?
When I did my Bollywood roundup right before the Oscars, or right before the Oscar nominations, I guess, or whatever it was, it was the second best movie I recommended after Ford v Ferrari. Ford v Ferrari is a different movie. It's crowd pleasing. It's you know, you've seen it, obviously.
Sure.
Parasite's very, very good. Yeah. I preferred 1917 and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but this isn't one of those years where I'm like, really? Parasite? I'm like, nope, Parasite's a very good movie.
It's
a surprise. It's an upset.
I watched the Oscars. What strikes me is they didn't have a lot of black representation in the category, so they went headlong into representing at the opening,
yeah,
the speakers,
the performers,
and everything else. And I don't know, at a certain point, I always, you know, the inclusion stuff is an interesting sort of tightrope to walk, which is, it's good until it starts feeling forced on
pandering.
You. Like when you see that thing where it's like the 11th commercial where there's middle-aged white guys, four of them robbing a bank. You're like, well, wait a minute. I thought there was always a black guy involved when they did a Cialis commercial or something. Like, why is this? Like, at a certain point, it starts to bump you.
Right.
And they did stuff like, first off, they did some interesting stuff. They did a lot of woman stuff. They did a lot of black stuff, but they also did a lot of heavy set stuff. Like, there's the new categories that get the big people out there, too. There's
a couple of
heavyweights
there. They were balanced out, quote unquote, no pun intended, by Timothée Chalamet and Natalie Portman.
Right.
Combined weight 159 pounds.
So, my only beef with when they try to really work the diversity angle, sometimes it's lesbian or gay or whatever it is, or like when they have people like Beanie Feldstein or whatever,
yeah,
Jonah Hill's
right.
I don't like having to Google everybody. Like, I don't know who this is. Like, who is this fat person?
That's on you, man.
That's on me.
She starred in Booksmart.
All right, but who you watched it, Matt? Why is it on me? I should know. If you asked Beanie Feldman is around here, would everyone know who that was?
They might know Beanie Feldstein.
I get what you're saying. You want literally stars, like, to be the presenters and the whatever.
No, I want the guys from catering and the guys who set up.
Right.
Craft service.
Yes, why is it on me? I don't recognize her.
Well, she's a legit movie star, but
all right. Who did you watch the movie with, Max Zapata?
I watched it with Jen. I watched Oscars with Jen.
Did she know who Beanie Feldstein was.
She didn't know who she was. I asked Gabe to get me the clip of Beanie Feldstein on the Oscars. Gabe asked, who is that?
All right. What I'm saying is, this is not, I knew you'd react this way, okay. But most people don't know who she is.
That's true.
They don't recognize her. Right. And we're casual. You know too much for your own good.
Fair.
So we don't just see her and go, oh, it's Beanie Feldstein from the whatever. I go, who's this chunky chick? And then
kind of looks like Jonah Hill.
It's Jonah Hill's sister.
Right. Yeah. It's good, but here's my point. I guess she's a lesbian.
Oh.
I guess she's full-figured.
Okay.
I feel like that's part of the... I feel like she's there representing.
Oh. Well, I think so. Janelle Monáe announced it in the middle of her song. Being a black queer woman... No, this is... I mean, that was part of the announcement.
What I'm kind of saying is traditionally, Oscars were, let's get the biggest stars, right. Most recognized. It's not... It's true, they're probably... more stars that are heterosexual and whites, and then you got a problem. But, like, you would see, you know, Denzel Washington come walking out there, and you'd go, all right, I know. Like, if you took a look at Oscars of yore, I don't mean from the 70s, this is like a few years ago, the people they front-loaded those things with were, like, household-y
star power.
Yes. You'd see those guys come out. It's like the guy from Hamilton, Beanie, a whole bunch of folks, like, at the beginning where I was like, who's that? Who's that? Now, of course, they work in the industry. It's not like, well, she works right. At the Starbucks at the airport. No, they go, yeah, she was in so-and-so. Right. But the thing about being in so-and-so is like, we're looking for household. Like, yeah. I recognize this person. I would say that the majority of the people watching don't recognize Beanie when That's she fair. Comes walking out there.
I'd imagine the vast majority don't recognize her.
And I'm saying it, well, now are we just talking about representing now?
Mm. There's a crossover here with sports. Did you know that baseball has this weird rule where the All-Star team has to have one player from every team on the All-Star team? No matter how bad the team, no matter how marginal the player, there have been some fairly marginal players over the years who've made the All-Star team, and the argument is like, no, let's just fill it with stars. Let's just put the best players in the game on the All-Star team.
Why do you call it the All-Star team then?
Yeah.
I concur. So it felt like kind of overtly woke
in
terms of the representation. And I don't know. I just, look, if you're not going to, the thing is like, if you're not going to have any black men nominated for best actor or black men nominated for best director, that's on you, but you can't then overcompensate by just piling on the black faces in before that.
Careful.
Before that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, good. Enjoyed. I know the next one is like Brad Pitt getting his Oscar, you know, act one, like right at the top, and then and you know, animated short and stuff like that, like coming after it.
Yeah.
I don't need animated short or foreign language. Do that on Thursday afternoon.
There's a lot of call for maybe like even sound mixing or sound editing.
Yeah, get rid of that. And look, I'm sorry, but making a doc, fine. Making a 16-minute doc, it's just... That's not that much to it. There really isn't.
I'm sure they're excellent, but there's what film festivals are for.
Well, yeah, you're welcome to the Oscar. We just don't have to see you get it.
Right.
Did you see the Into the Unknown?
Idina Menzel? That was Tessa's highlight.
That was pretty cool. That was, I think, nine different Elsas from all around the world doing their language. It was very cool.
I think that is a great example of executing diversity.
Yes.
Because it's not just diversity for diversity's sake. It's interesting, smart, well thought out, and you get the diversity versus here's just a big pile of diversity. We're just going to throw it at you.
Sorry.
Right. Somebody thought Parasite sucked.
I've tweeted this last night, but I'm already depressed for the inevitable backlash by people who are now like, oh, Parasite won Best Picture. I guess I should see it. And they're going to be like, no, that wasn't that good.
I didn't see it, but Drew didn't like the message.
Of course he didn't. He's a rich guy.
Drew didn't like the message. Derek, 51, Charlotte.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, just wanted to call in and have a chat about Parasite.
Yeah.
What you got?
Well, I have a theory. I see a lot of chatter and backlash of saying that Hollywood is snubbing America and showing their disdain for America by picking this as the the Oscar winner, when I see it exactly the opposite, and that is, you know, in 1948, we split the Korean Peninsula into two portions, north and south at the 38th parallel, and, you know, within a generation, we've got a South Korean director that's winning Academy Awards. That's not happening in North Korea. That sounds like an American success story to me.
Well put.
Yeah, well put. And I always kind of felt that way, like whenever anyone wanted to discuss, thank you, Derek, for that insight. I always felt that way about East Berlin and West Berlin. You know, like
this is a perfect petri dish.
We've done an experiment. Yeah, we took a city and we put a wall down the middle of it. And on one side, we went with communism, and it was gray, and people were miserable, and people were getting shot and tangled up in barbed wire, trying to go one direction and another. And the other one was just capitalism,
free and clear,
and everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves in outdoor cafes.
Yes.
So, with that in mind.
Yeah, we've done this.
We've done it.
We've split, done the experiment.
Split it, and then at some point when they took the wall down, then the folks who were going without in the gray places with the barbed wire, they then joined in with their side.
Yeah, it didn't go the other way.
It's pretty clear to me.
Yeah.
And this weird kind of argument, to me it's kind of a Bernie Sanders argument, which is like, we're not going to do what they did on the gray and dreary side. We're going to do a version of it that's better.
Sepia-toned.
Like, yeah, I don't feel like that's going to work out as well. But by the way, we have the other side. Why not just keep on refining that? Let's keep working on that. All right, let's see. There's one more parasite. Vince, 37, Santa Rosa, California.
Hey, Ace Man, what's happening?
What's going on?
Yeah, I really didn't like Parasite. Saw it a few months ago. I didn't know. I don't know so much about the message. It's more the just how cheesy it was. I thought you always do that joke about how 80s movies like vilify rich people. How like every rich person. What's that one? You always use that one movie where the guys are hanging out. And you're like, oh, you can't hang out with that girl because she's poor.
Oh,
you
know, well, Pretty Pink was that way. It was, what's his name's character?
Spader.
Steph.
He's standing at the stairs, smoking, looking like Don Johnson, with the wearing the Italian loafers with no socks, white blazer pulled up. It's like, hey, sport, what are you doing hanging around with that girl? Yeah. Don't you, have you checked your dad's FICO score? Whenever I think about high school, it's like all I wanted was pussy. I had no thoughts about
what her dad did for a living.
You know what her dad drives? What's the last time you checked his 401k? Or haven't you yet?
Does he even have a 401k?
I don't want to see you around her. Like, it was like everyone in high school was just equal. What separated them was what they looked like versus what they looked like. But yeah, maybe that was the part that Drew didn't vibe on.
Well,
I don't know.
I think you put him on hold. But
oh, sorry.
Either way.
Sorry, well, go ahead, Vince.
It wasn't that blatant, but I'm not. I hope this isn't spoiler alert for anyone, but the end of the movie had like cartoonish acting of rich people, and I'm not rich, and I'm of course I'd like to be rich, but I don't think rich people just feed off the blood of poor people, and just seems like it had these stupid metaphors at the end with this rock, this guy holding a rock that made no sense. And I'm sure just every English teacher was jerking off with that.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go on a fucking limb. I'm going on a limb. The first half of my life, exclusively poor people. Second half of my life, a lot of rich people. Rich people are better. They're so much better. Like, you just generally, like guys like Chris Morgan and they don't run Nabisco, but I mean, just my friends that Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel is so much better than any of my family members. 1,000 times better. Like, just as on a just cellular level, he's better. He's better than my friends, my poor friends. They're fucking loser, chain smoking parents who fucking neglected everything. Like, there were just some bad fucking poor people, and most of the rich guys I met have been cool. The first rich guy I met was Shelby Coffey III. The guy who was running the Los Angeles Times. He's a guy who helped me. They also do a lot of helping of getting people into different places, whereas Ray's dad, Gunther, wasn't that helpful. Couldn't help. He wasn't in a position to help.
Give you a hand up.
Sorry. Anyway, go ahead. Did you have thoughts, Brian?
I want to end with
Well,
there
go ahead,
is
Vince.
No one on the record that dislikes this movie. I've looked on Twitter. I've looked everywhere. There is not a single human being. It just blows my mind.
Well, maybe Drew. Maybe Dr. Drew. Yeah, though okay. Drew was interesting because he said his kids really like the message. Mm-hmm. And Drew's triplets turn out to be a bunch of little rebels. And I'm being kind. But the point is Drew is the man, and his kids ain't the man.
Yeah.
Now, Sonny's, Alex Keaton Jr., essentially. That's who he is. Natalia's probably going the other direction.
She's Mallory.
But thoughts, Brian?
I can't disagree with Vince. If he didn't like it, he didn't like it. That's all there is to it. But I think I even said this in my Bollywood review, which is there are levels to this movie that I don't think we as Americans can understand. I think there's a lot of South Korea, North Korea underpinnings in this movie, a lot of metaphors like Vince alluded to. And the one thing I do reject from Drew, who I haven't talked to about this, and Vince, who made his thoughts known, is the idea that it just portrays rich people as mean. I'm not going to give away too much. I'll avoid spoilers as much as I can, but I will say that it's the heroes of the story, the anti-heroes, the family, the people who are the family in the movie. They're the assholes. They're the ones who are moving in. They're the parasites of the titular parasites. They're moving in and like destroying these people's lives.
Feeding off the host.
Now the rich people are a little bit aloof and they're not nice, but they're not like the evil rich people. That's a wild oversimplification.
I shall watch the movie and I shall decide whether it is Little Miss Sunshine 2.0.
Oh, no. It's a really good, it's much better.
Brian, I think you'll back me on this. Adam,
I mean,
shine
the social
off.
Ramifications. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
Shine on Parasite a little longer. Stick Snowpiercer in there instead.
I shall.
That's a Bong Joon.
Yeah, that's the rich people are evil.
That is the greatest movie. I thought it was going to be so stupid. And Brian, you like it too.
Sonny would dig Snowpiercer.
Oh, God. Snowpiercer is fantastic.
Movie. We have Laura Dern. I just pulled the clip where she made this proclamation about women, which Laura Dern is 53 years of age. What I'm most curious about is when people are making these proclamations at advanced ages. Like, I get the 22-year-old chick at the Million Woman March and all that kind of stuff. It's weird when you're 50 and you're making weird proclamations. Here's her proclamation. I if someone put it in the prompter, I would just go, I'm not going to say that. But here it is.
I share this with my acting heroes, my legends, Diane Ladd and Bruce Dern.
That was very sweet. Yeah. I like that part, actually.
That's not the clip.
Let's try it again. Sorry.
Sorry. She's with the three gals when she makes her proclamation.
Wait, are you thinking of Sigourney Weaver?
Oh, I fucked that up.
Dern was
I fucked
good
that
enough.
Up. Yeah,
do
Dern
your
was
best.
Good. Sorry.
Do
that's
your
all
best.
Me.
She had a
Sigourney Weaver. That's right.
She had a very sweet statement, a very sweet prepared statement. She said, you know, they always say don't meet your heroes, but you might be lucky enough, and Adam, you'll identify, that they turn out to be your parents. And yeah. So she thanked Diane Ladd and Bruce Dern.
No, I screwed the pooch. It's Sigourney, who's 65, who made the proclamation.
With, you can
Brie
look
Larson for.
Larson and Gal Gadot.
Right. That's where I screwed up. You have a comment, Dawson, about Chrissy Metz's performance?
No, I do.
Dawson, you do?
Yeah, so I was watching it, and it, just like when you were watching Lizzo and her background, her backup dancers, I was watching Chrissy Metz's backup singers.
I knew you were going to say this.
I know, and it's awful, but just listen to the lyrics. As Jen
oh, no.
said I was a dick
I'm standing for you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yep.
No.
Thought about this, too.
Someone's going to be in a wheelchair?
Stand by. Oh, I mean,
Gina, please.
I did not mean to say that.
I'm standing. No!
Paraplegic.
Not the last shot.
Paraplegic.
In the last kind of wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of extra weight on that stage. I had to really reinforce it this year. I'll let you find that clip. In the In Memoriam thing, I had two beefs.
Okay, because I had one
two beefs.
Pleasant observation, but no, let's hear it.
I have two negative ones.
Okay, oh. Let's hear them.
But
it's
that's,
on brand.
That's why I get the big bucks. first beef, I'm looking down at my notes.
Beef notes.
I don't think, whether it's her thing or not, Billie Eilish cannot have the electric green hair in this moment, it's pulling focus. It's like I'm going, what's going on? I find myself going, what's going on with it? She's dressed in black. Yeah. What I'm saying is you would never wear a rhinestone studded white blazer or something. No. It's like dress in black. These are people at Dasho, whatever.
Felt incongruous.
Right. And I get your hair is green and you change different colors and all that kind of stuff.
Just go black.
Go black. Just for this day.
Just for the night.
Just because because what I'm doing is I'm now thinking about your hair and I don't want to think about your hair. That was number one. Number two, the double down on the people confusing to me because sometimes they went single and then sometimes they went double and I think sometimes they went double same person. We have to look into it like a split. Oh. And so what I found myself doing is going, wait, that's the same guy.
No, it's a different
guy. Those two guys. But also, I'm sorry if I committed my life to this industry and then I died, I wouldn't want to be hooked up next to, hey, that guy, the skipper from Gilligan's Island. Like, I wouldn't want to be next to somebody. I want to share time. Figure it out or thin the herd a little. I don't need the publicist on there or the guy who did the booking or for the Tonight Show. You know what I mean? Like, thin the herd, go full screen.
Twitter had the same beef as
you. That's my thing. I find myself looking like, is that that guy?
Is the consensus that was a bad move? Because is Twitter on board
with
that?
Yeah, it seemed inappropriate to have some people share the screen and some people not.
Because my pleasant observation was, I said to Christy, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad they're doing two people at once, because now we can not leave anyone out, because every year it's so-and-so got left out.
Luke Perry?
Where was Luke Perry?
Where was Luke Perry?
That was his last film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
The motherfucker was in a Best Picture nominee. Give the guy a bone.
And yet nowhere to be found.
Brutal.
Well,
he wasn't a big movie star.
But he was
in
it and everybody loved him.
Notable. Well, he starred in movies like 8 seconds or something
like
that.
Yes, he's been in movies.
Well, I don't get what the criteria is. And look, I'm sorry. Look, let me say this. If you're going to choose a life behind the scenes, like you're going to be a talent agent or you're going to book or you're going to be a publicist, fine. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Somebody
I don't know who you are. No one knows who you are. And they go, hey, she was one of the biggest publicists. That's fine. But that's her life.
Right.
She made a lot of money. We don't need to see a whole bunch of faces we don't recognize. I didn't like the double down. I just want to thin the herd. But the question, Maxipata, is, did they ever do a split with the same person? Like, I feel like they did young and old person of that. We'll see if they did. Either way, a little confusing. Sigourney Weaver, 70 years old. Maxipata, we have Sigourney making a proclamation that I wholeheartedly disagree with, but here we go.
We also wanted to stand here together and say that all women are superheroes.
True. Yep.
All right, that's mathematically impossible. By the way, May Exhibit A, Chris Carolla, everybody.
Point shitter extraordinaire.
Jesus Christ. Every woman. Yeah. By the way, that means zero. That's a zero. Don't clap. You're a 7-year-old woman. Don't say all women are superheroes.
It feels so good to say it, and it feels so good to clap for it.
What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. There's plenty of fucking horrible women out there. There's horrible shrews.
Is Casey Anthony a superhero?
How about Marge Schott?
Yeah. We can go round and round on this.
We can keep going. We can keep going. All right.
Imelda Marcos?
It's dumb. And by the way, here's what it says. When you do this thing where you go, all women are, now you're going, oh, we're not thinking straight. Like, we're buying.
Then no one is.
The groups that do the best are the ones that just go for it. I was thinking about, I'll get into it more tomorrow, but like, I was looking at some of the stuff when Gayle King and made her comments about Kobe, and then like LeBron was like, you're screwing, it's people like you that screw us up. You know, you're hurting the cause. And I kept thinking, don't be in the cause. Just go do your own thing. Don't get caught up in the I'm a woman or I'm a black man or I'm gay or whatever. Because of course it's never going to work when you're just down with the cause. Break away. Go do what you want to do.
Funky dog head bitch.
That's
right. That was LeBron.
That was LeBron. What was that? What did LeBron say?
He said, protect Lisa Leslie at all costs. You're a real superhero. Sorry you had to go through that shit. We are our own worst enemies.
Right.
Mama for life. And that's basically what Snoop said. He said, we're the worst. Right. We attack ourselves.
Right. And the real
white. He said something different.
The real
funky
white.
Dog head, bitch.
The real white privilege is not having our own. There's no our own. You know, it's not like, God damn it, Huey Lewis. You embarrassed the shit out of us. You see what you did?
Yeah.
Man, you ruined it for all of us.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Hey, Bernie Madoff. Come on.
We all look bad.
Dog head, bitch.
You're setting the whole fucking movement back.
Yeah. Although one could say we could say that about David Duke.
Yeah.
Or Bernie Madoff.
Yeah. But we don't, but that's the whole thing. It's like he doesn't really speak for
us. Yeah, he doesn't,
you know?
Like,
that's
speak
the point.
For
it's like, I don't go, oh, David Duke, I'm so disappointed. Do you see what you make us look like? I'm like, you're a douche, get away from me. Like, right?
Yeah. Okay. You're part of the club.
You're not tied to him.
All right. We'll bring in Trisha Paytas in a moment, do a one-on-one with her, and we'll do that right after this.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
It's time for a new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. ACS and car lovers alike, get ready because February's shipment includes a Blu-ray of Adam's newest doc, Shelby American, with special features you can't get anywhere else, and a signature from the Ace Man you can't get anywhere else, a Chemical Guys Clean Car Essentials Kit featuring butter wax, streak-free window cleaner, 2 odor eliminators, and more. And lastly, in your shipment, you may find a golden ticket for you and a plus one to join us at the Corolla Family Barbecue. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month, nor keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out.
Trisha Paytas is here. Am I saying Paytas right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
American media personality. Got a podcast, Dish with Trish, and it's on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well, YouTube channel, which does a ton of traffic, and websites and Instagram and all that. It's Paytas. Trisha, traditional spelling. So you have a crazy journey. Let's get into your crazy journey.
Yeah. I'm really old now, so I have a long journey, so it would take a long time to say everything. But yeah, it started with you, actually.
It did.
Mm-hmm. Do you know this or no?
No, I'm all ears.
So I was on the car show. It was like my first TV appearance.
Oh, right. Did the car show. And that would have been 8-9 years ago now?
At least.
10 years ago now?
10 years
ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do on that show?
So I was originally like one of like 50 girls, but I got John Sally like singled me out and I got like a whole like interview portion of the show. So there's like pictures of me and John Sally, like he's holding my arm up and showing my modifications.
Uh-huh. So about your boobs?
Well, that's what you guys did. You was unmodified versus modified.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now it's so, all coming back to me.
Yeah. So the casting was looking for girls with plastic surgery, their boobs done. And so I was like, oh, okay, I'll go on it. And there was like 20 of us, and then there was like 20 unmodified girls, and like you interviewed a certain girls, and John, like you interviewed one girl over on unmodified, and then John Sally came and took me, and I was like, do you want to be interviewed? And I was like, yeah. It was really cool, so that started it.
You grew up out here, or uh-huh. You started off out here, then you went to Illinois, and then you came back here. The plan was to be an actress?
No, I was like one of those like annoying girls. It's like, I just want to be famous.
Well, I know. I have these conversations with my kids all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be famous. Or you could shoot the president and be famous, but it's not really what we're looking for. We'd like you to, you know, generate something, create something.
Some substance.
Some substance would be nice.
I don't know if I have any substance, to be honest. I really have made it not having any talent. Like, I feel like I've done a really good job doing that. Like, and I don't say that in a bad way. Like, I'm like, wow, I like really killed it for like not having a discernible talent, you know?
Well, in a way, take this in the spirit in which it's intended. But, you know, I look at like the Kardashians as like the ultimate American success story because they don't play sports. They don't act like they don't play an instrument. Like, I get why John Sally made a lot of money playing in the NBA. And I get why Eddie Van Halen made a lot of money playing rock.
Yeah.
They brought something to the table. The Kardashians figured it out as they went along, but in a weird way, maybe that's really this country at its purest.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Like, that's just to be like absolutely doing nothing and being like a billionaire. That's amazing. That's the goal. That's the dream.
But so if you're Eddie Van Halen, sorry for dating myself, but if you're Eddie Van Halen of the band Van Halen, just so you know, you're younger. Then you can shred a guitar when you're a senior in high school, and then there's somewhere to go with that. There's something, start a band, then travel, then grow, then do tours. And before you know it, you're selling out places in Tokyo. What do you do if you do not shred a guitar or dunk a basketball?
Are you talking to me personally?
Yeah, to get famous.
Oh, God, I did everything. Well, I think, like I said, it kind of started with, like, going on every TV show. Because back when I started, because I'm old, I'm 31, when I started at 17, there was no social media. Like, maybe MySpace a little bit, but there was no social. I would literally, my goal was to get on, like, every TV show possible. And, like, maybe someone would, like, notice me. You know what my original goal was? I'll be honest with you. I just wanted to find, like, a rich husband and, like, that's it. But then I became rich. So I was like, oh, I don't need a rich husband. Like, I can just be, like, my own rich man. So I literally just, like, went on every TV show possible. Like, literally. I was on, like, Ellen, America's Got Talent. Like, any show that would take me, car show. Like, I was just like, let me just be on it. And it kind of like worked out. Like, I got followers that way. Like, as soon as I did America's Got Talent and like Howard Stern brought me, like he came on stage to be with me, like I got 50,000 followers overnight. And I was like, this is it. This is the trick.
Well, you've been in many videos, and it's interesting that you're inspired by Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about that.
Oof. Yeah, I get in a lot of trouble. So I'm like, I guess what you consider, I was somewhat of a troll. Mm-hmm. And people think I'm still trolling. That's the problem. I started out as a troll, which is Andy Kaufman-esque. Like, I would say and do ridiculous things that I didn't mean, right? Like, my original bits were straight up stolen from Andy Kaufman. So I used to say all the time, like, women are so, like, inferior to men. Like, men are way better than women. Like, women should not have to, like, be driving cars, for instance. Like, I used to say that shit and, like, say it. I meant it, you know? Like,
right.
Women should get beaten by men. Like, I used to say that on my YouTube, like, crazy shit. And that I never meant. I was making so much money trolling people. So I loved the reaction of being hated. But then I just didn't because people, like, wanted to kill me. So then I was like, okay, let me just, like, do a whole transformation. But I liked Andy Kaufman because no one knew if he was being serious or not. And the problem is that still me today? No one knows if I'm trolling them. Like, I did a video last year where I thought I was maybe transgender and everyone thought I was trolling them and they got pissed. Like, how dare you make fun? And I was like, no, I like actually like think I'm in the wrong body, but everyone just thought I was trolling them.
Do you think you're in the wrong body?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm being honest, like, this is going to get me in trouble again because no one, I went on the doctors even talking about this. Like, I swear I feel like I should be a man. I'm like uncomfortable sometimes in like a female body, but I don't know. Everyone's like, fuck you, bitch. Like, they hated that. So
what about, I mean, aren't there just a certain percentage of people that are uncomfortable in their own skin, whatever skin that is, which doesn't mean you need a new gender.
Right.
It just means you're generally uncomfortable in your own skin.
Well, kind of the opposite. So here's the thing. Like, I do like OnlyFans and stuff. So I like get naked for a living. So I'll show everything. I'm like, here's everything. Like, I don't mind actually being in a female body. It's more like, I'm more attracted to, like, okay, so I dated a lot of gay men, right? And gay men only like men. So for me,
hold on. Let me write that down. So you're saying part of being gay is being into dudes?
Yes.
Okay, that's a facet of being gay.
Okay, but listen to this. This is mm-hmm. why I know I feel like I'm in the wrong gender, because how many gay guys have dated girls, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, at the beginning, they date them.
Well, yeah, just so their stepdad doesn't freak on them in high school.
Okay, but now they're out, right? I dated two out gay men. Why would they want to, like, date me if I didn't have masculine energy coming from me? Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Well, it could be what they used to call them fag hags, and then they don't have that anymore. So now they've adjusted it to fruit flies.
Fruit flies.
which I do seems more palatable. But
yeah.
when you say I'm dating a gay man, what do you mean by dating? Because if you're not engaged in some sort of physical activity.
We were.
You were.
Yeah.
Then it's hanging out. All right. So now how do you, how does you and the gay man work physically?
Well, pegging.
Oh, God, I'm old. What's pegging?
Wait, really? Shut up.
Listen, I went out. Look, when I was done when Felch came out, I was like, all right, I'm no. I don't know what twigs or otters are anymore. I'm not up with everything.
Wow.
I know rim job. I know Felch. That's about it.
Okay. That's crazy you don't know this.
I don't know pegging. Okay. I probably have heard it.
Pegging is just like, you know, inserting, it could be a strap on, it could be anything, a marker, it could be anything, like just pegging, mm-hmm. peg them.
All right, so you put the strap on.
I mean, we've done both. We've done like everything. Like he's, like, definitely not pussy stuff, but everything else.
Right.
Okay.
All right, and then what, and are you deriving some satisfaction yeah. from that?
Yeah, of course, because he's a man, so. Obviously, okay, do you get it? I don't want to, like, can I be crass? I don't know what kind of show this is. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Tell us what you
can
know.
Just edit this if it's, like, too
say
much.
Say whatever
but,
you want.
Well, I don't know, like, the thing, but I mean, I just, I, like, this is so weird. I just, like, love, like, giving head. Like, I could literally, like, do that, like, all day long. Like, I sit, like, we have partners come in. So we have other girls, other guys, like, other people come in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I blow them, and, like, if you get fucked by someone else, it's like, I don't know, sorry, this is weird, but that's what I like.
You like blowing the guy.
And I like getting fucked while blowing.
Right.
Okay.
But the person fucking you would be straight. Probably.
Yes. I've been with, like, straight, quote unquote straight, yeah. But bi, I guess.
Well, I guess, in a weird way, I mean, having sex with a gay man, like, in general, they're probably in a little better shape. And they're probably a little more well-coiffed down there, you know? Like, don't the general mm-hmm. hygiene and just the general, like, you know, straight guy, you know, the straightest guy in the world is Harvey Weinstein. You don't want that guy, do you?
I'm not attracted to him, no.
There you go. That's what straight guys look like naked.
That's true. You're right. And you know what? Straight guys, their assholes are like hairy and dirty. Like gay guys, like they clean them out.
Oh,
good.
My God.
They know not to eat before.
It's like you've been following me around.
I can see it for sure.
Oh,
on
it's
you.
A disaster.
Yeah,
because we don't, there's no, if you're a gay man, you have to be on your gay, you have to be on your game constantly. Like it's like being a gay man is sort of like being a blonde in Hollywood. Like you can never really get fat or out of shape or old. Like you're on it. As a dude, straight dude, you can pack on the weight and let your ass look like a topiary. You can have nutsack hair. You can be a disaster as long as you're funny, making money, out doing well, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Someone will put up with that.
That is so true. I hate the double standard of that. Another reason I wish I was a man. So many reasons.
All right. So you like blowing guys.
Well, like,
What is that thing? I'm curious. It's like, I don't know. I guess a dick a lot. In a way, it's like Vegemite. Like, some people love it, and other people are like, yuck.
Really? Who's yuck about it? You think? Maybe lesbians.
I think there's a certain segment of females that look at blowing a guy as a serious chore. Like, not a turn on.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, for sure. For me, I'm just like, I feel like I'm, this is so sad. This is kind of, it's going to make me sound like sad and like desperate or whatever. For me, I'm like, if I'm just like really into it, if I can give head for like 3 hours, that guy's going to want to fuck me again, you know? So I just like learned to really like it because like guys really like me. So I was like, this is great. I learned that at a young age.
Well, is a woman who really likes blowing guys, is she a pleaser?
Uh-huh.
Or does she like just love the taste of dick?
Both.
Because I feel like they're pleasers. And I feel like the ones that don't want to blow guys are not pleasers.
You know what? Can I tell you? I have a little pro tip for you guys. So I'm like a thicker girl, but my face is really pretty and like chiseled because I suck so much dick. Because the motion of it has chiseled your jaw. Like people think I'm like, I don't know. I have a cute face.
This is interesting because I have a little bit of a round face. And I notice sometimes when I do Kimmel, I go, look at that guy. But maybe it's because all this time I thought it was the pasta, but now I realize I'm not blowing enough dudes.
Have you ever?
No.
Never. Come on.
Okay. 9 times.
I feel like you have, Loki. Every guy is a little
have
gay.
I?
Yeah.
Mm.
Never. Well, you've been married a while, right?
Yeah, but that wouldn't slow me down.
I love this.
I wouldn't look at that as cheating per se, or be super cheating. It'd either be no cheating or mega cheating.
I don't think it'd be cheating because you're not really attracted to guys, but you want to try it out.
You know, my feeling, I have this feeling in life, which is if you ever do things that you don't know about, like if you've never ridden a motorcycle in the dirt, like in the desert, or you've never done stand up, or you've never surfed a wave, or ridden a unicycle. When you do it, you go, yeah, this is how it feels. This is how it should feel. Like this feels like it would feel. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've done a lot of things, and when I do them, I go, yeah, this feels like it's like I thought it was going to feel.
Right.
And I've never surfed a 20-foot wave, but if I did, I'd probably be thinking this feels exactly how I thought it was going to feel. Thus, I don't need to blow a dude.
I don't think so. There's a different rush when there's jizz down your throat.
You say jizz?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's like an old school term. You should know that.
No, I know okay. Jizz. Listen, Missy, I wasn't hip with the pegging, but I'm the king of jizz.
Are you? This is so fun. This is exactly the Adam Carolla I love. Like, I grew up on, like, The Man Show. I was, like, 10 when that was out, but I was like, that's us. I want to be on that show. Like, that's how I became the way I am.
Well, you and I would make a spectacular team, and we could tour the country, because, I'm as down. I've said, I'm not much good at giving oral, but nobody receives like me.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I'm fantastic.
Wait, is that our show? Is that what we do live?
I think so.
Are you kidding me?
Well,
that'd be great.
There's some clubs in San Francisco that I think would be open to it. I don't know about Orange County or Utah. Certainly no. Some places in yeah.
No, Utah Mormons are freaky.
Oh yeah. No, I know. I was there not too long ago and I realized like everyone there is either Steve Young, quarterback, Brigham Young, look him up. Or they're just sleeved with crazy tattoos
yes.
and funky piercings, and they're pushing against it.
They're rebelling.
All right, so let's get back to this blowjob.
Donny Osmond. You know, Donny Osmond has never gotten a blowjob. He said it on Howard Stern. He says it's disrespectful.
God, I don't know what we'd talk about.
I love Donny Osmond. Okay, sorry. Man, I'm going to blow.
Imagine if you're the first one to blow Donny Osmond. You should make that a quest.
You know how many times I met Donny Osmond? I met him over 50 times. We have pictures together. He's like hugging me from the back, and I get so fucking turned on just him hugging me. Could you imagine blowing him? I would die.
You know, if I was to blow one guy, I believe it would be Donny Osmond because not that I, first off, it wouldn't make me gay because it's Donny Osmond. Mm-hmm. And then number two, just for the novelty of it, just
for
to
sure.
rip that lid off the can of his Pringles. You know what I mean? Just to be like, I could walk around going, hey, Donny Osmond's only been blown once in his life. And people go, who blew him? And I'd go, you're looking at him,
partner. I could see that. Yeah, you should do it in your lips. I feel like your lips are really good for blowjobs.
Well, look, there's no doubt I'd be fantastic at blowing dudes. There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Because I know what a dude likes.
True.
You see what I mean?
Same. That's why I feel like I'm a dude, because I know exactly what dudes want and like dudes like me. So I feel like I'm a dude, like low key, but like a gay dude. I feel like I'm a gay man.
What do you think a gay guy, if you're blowing a gay, do you blow a gay guy?
Yeah.
What's he thinking?
They love it.
Is he picturing a dude?
Is he
like closing his eyes and picturing Donny Osmond?
Well, I don't know the psych of it, but I know they say I have masculine energy. Like a lot of guys say that. Like even the guys I date, like straight guys, are very femme. So I think I have the masculine energy, and I go with like femme guys, straight or gay in general, because I have masculine energy that comes out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Did you strip for a while, right?
Mm-hmm. Stripper escort.
How's the escort business work?
It was great until someone got freaking. Well, it's okay. You can totally live with HIV, but I was scared of it. So I was just like, okay, you know what? Someone like came publicly with it. And then I was like, oh, time to not escort anymore.
Somebody who was an escort or somebody you'd been with?
Who was
with.
A famous actor. Yeah, that I had like been with. And I was like, oh. And then I got really scared. And then I was like, and it was like, it was really close to the time I was like with him. And then I was like, oh. So then I was like, oh, you know what else? I got my teeth like hammered. So that was the other thing. But anyways, that's a different story.
What happened? What's that mean?
Well, I escorted for like someone who wasn't famous. See, you got to go with the famous guys. Like, I'm telling you, girls, escorts, go with famous guys, because if they kill you, they'll like, it'll be known. It'll be like, what is it, Robert
Blake?
Can't
get away with it.
Yeah.
You fuck guys like Jimmy Osmond, Donny Osmond.
I wish. I'd have not fucked them, but.
Yeah. Or
I go D list. Yeah. I'm like, I'm very D list girl. But if they're a little bit famous, they're not going to like murder you, chances are. But when you go with the non famous ones, that's when you're going to get your teeth knocked out with a hammer.
Like somebody went after you?
Mm hmm. Yeah. It was really bad. I was like 20.
What'd they do?
They just this part of my mouth was like hit with a hammer. So like these teeth came out.
With a hammer?
Mm-hmm. I was fucked up on fucking, I don't know what I was on, Oxys or something? I don't know what I was
on. What were they fucked up on?
Oh, they were on like, what was it? Is it like a horse tranquilizer? I don't know. They were on something that like caused you to move slow, but at this, oh no, what's the one from Wolf of Wall Street? Those like old school drugs that no one does anymore. Oh. Like Hugh Hefner did them.
Yeah, there's Quaaludes.
Quaaludes!
See, I told you my old brain would be of service to you.
I know, I love it. I love like, I get, okay, never mind.
So, okay, how does the escorting work?
Escorting. Well, when I did it, I was like a stripper first. Shout out Seventh Vale on Sunset. It was Seventh Vale on Sunset and Godfather's in Canoga Park. So Godfather's in Canoga Park, pro tip, it's hookers there. Like you literally can go. Guatemalan girls will blow you for $5 there. So like that's at least when I worked there. So I was in both. I was in the Valley and Hollywood. Hollywood is like more high end girls. And so that's where like the celebrities come in. So celebrities just want to fuck, right? They don't really want to like give you ones and shit. Like, so they want to fuck. And so there was a girl who was like the, I guess you call them like madams back in the day, but they're not really like that. She's like the main pimp and she'll like pimp you out. So like if there's a specific girl, let's say you want like a girl who has like a body, like a, you know, like a 10-year-old boy, which is totally fine. People are so into that, whatever. No tits, nothing. There's a girl for that. Let's say you want a thick ass blonde. Like that's me. You know what I mean? So she was like that person that like catered to what people needed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I loved it. I loved it because it was like really great. I got to meet really cool people. And I like, obviously I love like I just said. So it was like fun and it was good money. It was okay money. It's not good money.
Well, what's the break? Like, how much of it do you get to keep?
50%.
50%. Mm-hmm. That's straight. That's how it works.
For me. It was like a girl that ran it. So, like, she was cool. She was just like, 50%.
Where do you have sex?
Anywhere. You can go to the people's house. I think the weirdest place was, like, I went in, like, someone's car. So, I thought, oh, we're going to have, like, sex in a car or something. And then he, like, got out. You know Rock and Roll Ralph's? On Sunset, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like we literally got out behind the dumpsters of Rock and Roll Ralph, like on the side, and like got and fucked. And it was like kind of a famous, like he was one of my more famous. Like I date a lot of like Z-listers, like I fucked a lot of them, but like this was like a more famous one. And I was like, this is weird. Does he like want to get caught? I literally thought he like wanted a scandal or something because we fucked like out the dumpsters, like it like pretty much inside of them. It was really weird.
Condoms?
No, and that's the other reason I had to stop because fucking my dirty ass is gonna catch something gross. Like I had chlamydia twice, and I like can't get pregnant from it, so I've already been like tortured enough for that. But yeah.
You can't get pregnant because you had chlamydia?
I let it go for too long. So here's another pro tip. If you had chlamydia, get it checked out like really quick because I had it for about a year and a half and it like scars your tube. So like I had like little like neon shits like shoved like shot up me and they could see if it like semen would pass and it like won't pass. I could get like surgery and they could like scrape it off or some shit, but I'm good.
So you do this. Now, do you have thoughts about the future? Like, do you have thoughts about, oh, I want to settle down. I want to have kids. I don't want this stuff kind of following me around. Or what's my take going to be on this when I'm 45 or 50?
I mean, this sounds so morbid. I like hate to bring it up because I feel like it's like such a fun podcast. But I feel like it's like, I feel like this sounds so stupid, but I honestly feel like I'm like gonna die young. I've always thought that. Like, even before I was like anyone, like anything, like I always am like, I'm gonna probably die young. So I don't really think about that.
Why do you have that thought?
I don't know. Like from like a kid, I've always like had this like really weird like premonition about my death and like and also I kind of like just saying it now, I kind of don't mind it because like I feel this sounds so stupid. I sound like a 16-year-old who wants to like whatever. But like I don't want to die. Here's the thing. But like I kind of don't mind it because like right, the like legends like die young, right? Like my favorite person in the world, you can like probably guess like Anna Nicole Smith. I like fucking love her so much. And so like would she have been as like popular had she not like, you know what I mean? I don't know. That sounds so morbid. I don't know.
No, I get it.
Okay. Okay, so I might live to be 70, and that's going to be interesting, but I don't...
You're going to have to lower your rate at the club.
No, some people really like old
bitches. Oh, really?
Bitches. Yeah.
Wow.
My last, yeah.
Yeah. Unless I get the guys who like being blown. I'm not sure about the old bitches part.
Oh, yeah. No, they do. My last boyfriend like cheated on me with like someone who was like 65, and she looked 85. She looked so old.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She was old as fuck, and she was a whore, which will be me at 75.
So, all right, where to begin? Your childhood. I'm asking for Dr. Drew.
Okay.
Any trauma, any sexual abuse? How did we get to this place?
A lot. I just have, like, I go to therapy. I think there's like, a lot of abandonment issues. So I feel like if you, like, again, it's the blowjob thing, right? Like, if you blow someone really good, they'll come back.
As a matter of fact, they won't leave while they're being blown. Like, no one ever goes, geez, what time? Oh, my God. Jesus, street lights are on. I get rolling.
I love that you get it. Like, you get it. And I feel like some people don't. Like, I could say this and they won't get it. But, like...
there's a handful of dudes I meet. There's a couple of dudes out there that you'll meet that don't really like blowjobs.
Oh, really?
Like, they're just like, I think Dr. Drew's that way.
Oh, I can see that.
Like, he just likes screwing, you know?
Does he, though?
Yeah.
I can't see that.
He's probably pagan.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Poor Dr. Drew.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
We love him. I know we love him here.
No, what I'm saying is there's some dudes, they don't really like blowjobs because they're so goddamn horny that all they're thinking about is fucking while they're getting the blowjob.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And it feels... See, Dr. Drew looks at the blowjob like an appetizer, and he wants the steak. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so he's looking at a blowjob like the dinner salad. But I'm looking at the blowjob like shrimp scampi.
Ew, shrimp.
And I shouldn't use the word shrimp. I'm looking at a steak tartare.
Okay. Right.
I'm looking at it as the appetizer. And sometimes when you're eating the appetizer, you're going, fuck, this is better than the meal.
True.
Like, this is cooler. And sometimes you just want to order three appetizers.
Yeah, because you just want to get full on that. You're like, I'm just going to get full. Who fucking cares about the steak?
Yeah, he just wants to power through his fucking lettuce and croutons and get to the beef.
Probably because he has lettuce and croutons. But if you're having steak tartare, you know, like that's fucking, you know, what it is. But I think I've never met someone who does not like blowjobs, by the way. And
well,
even,
let's be fair. It's not like he doesn't like blowjobs like he doesn't like ISIS.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Or
adolescent diabetes or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? He doesn't dislike blowjobs.
That's not his favorite.
It's like a stepping stone.
Okay. Well, for that, I say, like, and I tell guys this, too, because they're like, you don't have to be down there that long. And I'm just like, honestly, it gets me off. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying earlier is, like, I would almost rather, like, blow someone then I love fucking, like, I love it, but I'm just saying, like, I get off where I'm blowing someone because I like hearing the noise. I can, like, focus. Like, I don't know, for me, my mouth, I have such an oral fixation where I, like, always have to have something in my mouth, like a sucker or food, like fucking just something in my mouth. I'm chewing all the time. Like, I it's like a weird, like, compulsion, I guess you could say. So it's almost like an OCD thing where it's like, I love, like, sucking on, like, I just like sucking on things. And if it's a penis, okay, but, like, also, like, suckers and stuff like that. I don't want to sound like a total whore, but
what do you think? Like, you know, most women wouldn't speak as freely as you.
Oh,
about
sorry.
This.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what kind of. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Good. It's good.
Fellatio.
No. What I'm saying is if you talk to most women, they'd go, "Oh, please, I would never." Blah 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 blah. But what percentage of them would?
Do you know
what I mean? Like, just blow a guy on the first date or,
every girl.
Or whatever.
Well,
every girl?
No. The Jewish ones don't. I mean, no offense. Mm. No offense. But, like, I know Jewish girls definitely don't blow on the first date. But I think, like, if you're in L.A., especially, 95% of the girls.
Really?
1,000%.
Jeez, I got to move. Oh, no, wait. I'm in L.A.
Do you live here?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
No need to move.
I thought you were in Vegas for some reason. I had no idea.
What percentage of women blow on the first date in Vegas?
Oh, 100%, right?
Oh, it's 100%.
1,000, yeah.
All right, well, now we got to move to Vegas.
Vegas is where it's at.
Donny Osmond's in Vegas doing
no,
a residency.
He's gone.
He's gone?
Trust me, I know. I go to every show all the time.
So women, they pretend like they go like, oh, I would never do that, or I have to get to know the guy, or I never do it on the first date, or it's too intimate or whatever.
Yeah.
But the reality is more of them would do it than admit.
Yeah, well, girls are classy. I mean, like I said, it goes back to the transgender thing. I don't feel like a girl. So, like, for me, I'm like a dude. Like, you know, dudes will be like, I like, you know, getting head. Like, that's, like, me. I feel like girls are very classy and sweet. And that's why guys are attracted to girls, because they're like, that's why a lot of straight guys aren't attracted to me, because I'm so fucking crass. And, like, you're just so intense. And so I get it. But, like, at the same time, like, I'm not into straight guys. I like gay guys. So it's like, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I'm just saying, point being, girls are very sweet. And
Do you feel like men, gay men, can have a much more just sort of straight to the point sexual conversation? Like, we don't have to pretend.
Yeah,
we don't have to beat around the bush. I don't even like bush. We just get right to the pagan. Like, we're going right past.
I know.
The entree and going right to pagan.
Exactly. Because I know this because my only friends, and, like, again, shout out gay guys, but all, like, the only friends at my parties are all gay men. I have, like, literally 70 friends and they're all gay men. So I know this, like, firsthand. Like, they go on Grindr. They go on, what is the new one? There's one called, it's kind of like a Craigslist. They go on, they get, like, 5 guys to come over, fuck them, and leave. They don't even talk to them. They don't say their name. Their asses are just up, fuck, gone. Like, the bathhouses, too. Same thing. There's nothing like that for straight people.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You can't just go get your dick sucked and a girl leaves.
No, I know. Is there any, since we're going deep down the gay, the Hershey Highway here.
We love it.
I feel like if I blew gay guys, I'd prefer to blow the bottoms.
Of course. They're the cleanest. They clean themselves out.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, the old dipstick would be just in a little better shape. You
true.
Know, that's just me.
It's cleaner. It is cleaner. Gay guys in general have very clean genitalia as opposed to straight guys.
Yeah, gay guys, they're cleaner. They're in better shape. They're more direct.
Yeah, they just want to fuck.
They just want to fuck.
Every gay guy. Even if you're in a relationship or married, married gay men always want to, like, play and fuck. And, like, it's emotionless for them, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are they allowed to do that? Are most gay men allowed to screw around with you?
I would say 80% of the couples I know are, yeah, they're down. With me? I mean, not with me per se, but
well, no. What I'm saying is, like, if you're in a gay relationship and you're stepping out with another man, mm-hmm. then you're really cheating. If you're stepping out with you, you're kind of experimenting.
Right. Same thing with, like, hetero couples, right? Like, if your wife was with a girl, you'd be like, okay, that's cool. Like, whatever. It's not really cheating, right? So right. It's like, I think, I know people, like, will get really mad at me for saying that, but I agree. I think if it's a different gender, even if you're bisexual or whatever, I don't think it's, like, cheating.
What about you with women?
Yeah, it's, like, not cheating.
Cause, you like women?
I'll be with them, but it's not like I'm like, oh, I want to date a woman. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very, like, attracted, like, to men. But, like, of course I'll be with girls. But, like, I do it more for, like, if, like, someone wants that. You know what I mean? Which, I mean, it's not like I'm like, let me just go eat a pussy. I will if I'm fucking horny. You know what I mean? I'll be like, okay, this is here. All right, I'll eat it. But, like, it's not my thing.
Not your thing.
It's not like, oh, I want to just get it. I'm really bad at it. I'm actually bad at eating pussy. Good at sucking dick, bad at eating pussy. Just to say that.
Noted.
Yeah. And eating ass. I'm not good at that either. And that's a very gay man thing to do, and I can't do it.
Yeah, there's certain things sexually that I just feel are kind of fall under the prove it category more than the sexual sensation of it.
Yeah.
Like the ass eating, that's just more like prove you love me or that you'll do anything.
Yeah.
A little less than, oh man, I love that feeling. It's a little more like, yeah. I like your attitude.
Exactly. That's true. I've had, yeah. And I love that, though. I love being like, I love having to prove you love someone. I think that's so sexy. Like, I love that. So I'm down for it. Like, sure, I'll prove
now,
it.
Now, what happens when you get in a long-term relationship?
I wouldn't know. My longest one's like every relationship lasts about a year for me. And then I try and sabotage it after about a year.
So what happened growing up? What's the difficulty?
Nothing. I've had nothing. Like, when I talk about it, I'm good. I'm like, nothing crazy has happened.
So your family... Your Shit. Family was intact.
I mean, they weren't intact, no, but.
Was abuse?
Not from my family, no. My family's great.
Oh, neighbors, that kind of
oh
stuff.
Oh, my like, God, this is so deep.
Something.
Well, I feel like you're not Dr. Drew. Well, actually, I wouldn't even tell Dr. Drew
listen,
this.
Listen, I sat next to him for a decade. Like, you don't just exist in a bubble. Like, something creates
you. I have a lot of trauma. I'm a broken little bird, but you know what? It's okay. It's fine. I'm really, like, I am, like, over it. Like, I'm healing from it.
So trauma from a young age.
I mean, everyone had traumatic childhood. I don't like to be that person to be like, I had some, like, whatever. Everyone goes through shit, you know?
Well, yeah, but some shit is much more... traumatizing than others.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I had good parents and stuff like that. I think just a lot of rotating men in my life, you know, from a young age. Like, my dad, obviously, okay, my dad was divorced. Okay, so just like a Cliff Notes version, they divorced when I was three. I lived in California. My dad stayed in California, and like we were in Illinois. He moved back. He left us. My mom had like tons of boyfriends, stepdads, like all this stuff like that. Like, teachers in my life that were not, you know, really like, you know, teachers. Right. So, like, that's kind of where I'm like, I don't know. I've always just had like older men in my life that kind of took advantage.
Well, took advantage of you, like teachers.
I never talk about this. Like, this is so weird because I don't want people to associate, like, being open with your sexuality with being, like, molested as a kid. Or not that I was molested. I'm just saying, like, abused as a kid or trauma as a kid or something like that. You know what I mean? So I just don't want the, like, correlation, even though, yes, that's my story. But I don't know. Like, I don't know.
All right. We'll get into this
It's so deep. I'm like, damn. Okay.
Well, hold on. And so it does. So here's the question. Mm-hmm. So, like, you, because you're a female and you're attractive, are able to essentially act out, for lack of a better term. Like, I just mean, you're not gonna, you know, if you're unattractive and you're male and you were abused, let's say sexually, you still have to just go to work at the fucking post office. Like, you don't get to go down to Seventh Vale and
right
and blow Tommy Lee. You just don't get to.
Okay, yeah.
Huh?
Okay.
Something?
Why Tommy Lee? So random. Okay, go ahead.
Just thinking of a rock and roll guy. What do you hate him for?
We have drama online. Like he's an asshole. He thinks he hates that I like try and be like Pamela Anderson, because I love Pamela Anderson, and he came for me on Instagram. That old ass has an Instagram fucking commenting on my bullshit. Like, fuck you. There's videos about it. It's already out there, whatever. But fuck him. Anyways, continue. I know what you're saying. So
what I'm saying is you're an attractive female, and you're able. You can distract yourself if you want. You know what I mean?
Like career wise, or just
I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Like, I was probably miserable in my childhood. You were probably miserable in your childhood, but older guys didn't want to fuck me and take me out. You see what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
I had to go to the fucking reservoir and drink Schaefer beer. Okay. You know what I mean? And just sit there. And
then I get it.
You know, go home and beat off and go to bed.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? No, there was nobody wanted to take me.
Sure.
Do anything.
Right.
So I didn't have the distraction.
Okay.
Of it. And then because I didn't have the distraction of it, I had to sit with my feelings a lot. Like, there wasn't anything going on Saturday night. Oof. You know what I mean? There wasn't that distraction. There wasn't the excitement. No one was coming. No one wanted me. No one desired
me. Were you an incel?
I don't know. What does that mean? That's have sex?
Involuntary celibate.
No. Never involuntary.
Okay.
But long, dry.
Okay.
Long, dry spells.
Okay.
And so it was like, I had to kind of sit and deal with my traumatic childhood. Like, yeah. I had to just sort of sit and try to work it out. No one was going to come by and pick me up in a convertible.
Okay.
And, you know, take me to the Four Seasons.
That's not how mine was. That was not how mine was at all.
But yeah. Right. But what I mean is, there is a distraction. You can get caught up in your sexuality and not have to deal with the traumas, kind of what I'm saying. Do you see what you feel me?
Yeah, I do. Okay, but here's the thing. When I talk about it in like therapy, and like this is like why like I like having this conversation. When I talk about therapy, I don't look at it as like traumatizing. And to me, I wasn't like, oh, I don't want to do this. Like, this is just like, that was not me at all. Like, I was excited about it from the get. You know what I mean? Like, I thought this is what I want. This, like, my one of my biggest things is like Jerry Lee Lewis married his 13-year-old cousin. So like the movie with Dennis Quaid and Winona Ryder, she's like fucking him at like 13 and getting married and getting this fabulous life. I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to marry Michael Jackson at 12 and like have this fabulous life of a child bride. Like, that would be amazing. You know, that was like my goal.
Yeah.
And then I got 13 and I was like, oh, that's not going to happen. Like, I was fucked, you know, I was like so mad. I was like, but I think I have a different like romanticized version of something that's really fucked up. And it is fucked up. Like, thinking back, I'm like, that was so fucked up. And I'm like really against it now. Right. Obviously, even like when like 45-year-old people date like 18-year-olds, which is legal, I'm like, ew, that's fucked up. You're like, so I get it, but I didn't hate it at the time, you know?
Well, sorry, but how old were you and like, what were you doing? Having sex with a teacher?
No, it wasn't like that. It's just like, I don't know how to like say this, like, because I don't really talk about this at all, but I always got attention from like older guys and I loved it. Like, that was, it wasn't like creepy or gross or weird. I was like, oh, that is what I like. Like, that's, you know, and yes, it was like so inappropriate or whatever, but like, I liked it. Like, I don't know. It's like weird. So I guess, yes, I know what you're saying. But for me, it was like more of like someone to like take care of me. You know, I was like, oh, this person's like going to take care of me, you know?
Yeah, because you didn't get that attention from your dad.
Sure. Well, yeah. So my dad, yes. My dad lived in California. We lived in Illinois. My mom worked 5 jobs, had different boyfriends like all the time. Like, I love my parents. Like, they are actually good parents. They just were trying to do their best they can, whatever. So I was just like at home, like watching TV, you know, like all this kind of stuff, whatever. So for me, it was like, yeah, I was always alone. So finally, when I wasn't alone and someone wanted to give me attention, like take care of me and take me places, I was like, oh, this is great, you know? And even at 31, I still like, well, it's different now, I guess, but I still kind of want that, but...
Let's explore. So you were in high school when this, ninth grade?
I don't know the exact ages.
We could figure it out. Okay. But the point is this. We'll get back to this.
Okay.
Let's explore this, did the best they could.
I'm not so sure. No,
I don't
they did.
Know. I feel like I had crappy parents and I don't feel like they did the best they could. And like I was a shitty student. Were you a shitty student?
Oh, I was a great student.
Really?
Really smart. I always had A's. Like, I never studied. I'm like a smart person. Like, I mean, think about, okay, yeah, I'm a smart person. And I know smart people don't say that, but they do. I mean, I'm fucking smart. I mean, like, money doing nothing. So.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, it's 3-hour blowjob ain't exactly nothing.
No, but you know, like, 7 years ago that happened. The past 7 years has all been on me, not sucking dick. I mean, now I'm kind of back to doing like nude stuff, but that's because I make bank doing it. So I was like, well, that's stupid not to do it. But, yeah. But like, for 7 years, I did like a pretty clean, like, lifestyle and I wasn't making money. So.
So.
Or I was making money.
They did the best they could angle. You know, I was always like, I was a really shitty student.
Okay.
And people are like, oh, if he'd only applied himself. But I never applied myself and I was a shitty student. Like, maybe your parents didn't apply themselves. I don't think my parents applied themselves.
You don't think so?
They didn't do the best they could.
I honestly think my parents did. I honestly do.
Your dad did the best he could?
Like, could he have, like, lived in the same state as us? Probably.
Yeah,
but
there's a small detail.
But he had, like, he worked, like, he had his own company. He sold it for a ton of money. So, like, he was, like, working towards something, I guess. That's how I look at it. I was,
how,
like,
you left your dad back when you were three?
They got divorced when I was three. We were in California. My mom moved to Illinois. My dad moved back temporarily and then, like, left us again.
When he left, how long did he go between trips back out, or how often did you see him?
We saw him, like, in the summers and Christmas, I think.
So a couple times a year. Mm-hmm. Did you stay with him?
Yeah. But he was working all the time, so we just entertained ourselves, like, in his office.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he was a good provider, but he wasn't physically there that much.
Yeah, and he still, like, won't hug me or say I love you or kiss me.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, why can't he do that? That's not the best he can do.
He had a wife. He remarried, and she said, don't hug your daughter. She has, like, boobs. And, like, so I think ever since then he was, like, and I was, like, five. And I remember that so specifically.
Well, see, that's not doing the best you can do as a dad.
I think my dad was weird. He was just like, oh, so I think he just didn't. He never has once mentioned the word sex. Told me, like, I can't have sex until, like, I'm married. Like, all this, like, he's very religious and, like, that kind of stuff. And so he tried. He just instilled the wrong values in me. He's like, if you have sex before you're married, you'll, like, go to hell. Like, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And
how much of your life and behavior is just a rebellion to your dad?
Probably a lot. I mean, probably. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Because I don't know.
All right. I have a theory.
Oh, Jesus. This is so deep. This is dark. Okay. You're like my dad now. This is great.
Well, here's my theory. My theory is, because I used to talk to, when I used to do Loveline, I used to talk to a lot of women, and they'd go, like, I'm dating a black guy, and I'm at college, and I want to know how to tell my dad. Oh. And I'd go, oh, okay, why would your dad care? And then they'd go, oh, he's a big-time racist.
Oh.
He's a big racist. And I'm like, oh, but you're dating him at college and you're 3,000 miles away. I'm like, I don't know. Why even tell him at all? Why not just date the black guy?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got to tell him. He's got to know. And then I realize, oh, she's pushing back against her racist dad.
Oh.
She's dating the black guy not because she loves black men, but because she hates her dad. And women... See, women are more fluid sexually than men.
Yeah, that's true.
So I can't blow a dude. Like, if my dad was a preacher and he was like, hey, you blow a dude, you'll go to hell, and I hated my dad, Donny Osmond's dick would still be safe around me, because I wouldn't blow him just because my dad, I wanted to push it back in my dad's face.
You don't know, though. Was your dad homophobic?
No.
So there you go. You won't know, because maybe if he really wasn't instilled that in you,
no,
like,
but
I'm gonna...
guys have a more of a hard wiring. Like,
okay.
We just like what
true.
We like, and we're
it.
Not that flexible. So right. Women, so your dad saying, keep your virginity until you're 40 is maybe why you fucked the 40-year-old when you're 14. That's what I'm...
I get what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Maybe there's some correlation. I don't
think
know.
There may be something there.
I don't think so. I think a lot of people probably have, like, dads, like, are religious and do that, and they don't, like, do
that. Well, also, what is, here's something to consider. What does it really mean? I mean, your sexuality, what is it? How did it get shaped? Like, what, you know, like men, you go, okay, you take a look at Cindy Crawford at 23 and you go, man, I'm into that.
Right.
I was talking to a beautiful woman on Saturday night, and she's like, I date ugly guys because that's the way I like it. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no dude. There's no dude version of you. Like,
yeah.
A really hot looking dude. You're just like, I like threes and fours. I like homely broads, because you know they ain't straying. You know they ain't looking at anybody else. Like, that's not how dudes work.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, that's...
So women could be totally flexible.
True. That's, like, so true.
Sexually. So then we don't know exactly what you would be, or you could be anything.
Right.
Depending on what your influences were at a young age.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like I had a lot of different influences. So that's why I feel like I'm so, like, open to everything and anything. Because nothing shaped my sexual, like, everything shaped it. I was like, everything sounds good. Like, literally someone wanted to put, like, one of those, like, candlestick, like, holder things up me. And I was like, that sounds good. Like, I'll just do whatever. Like, I'm like, that sounds like a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, I remember being, like, what, six when Pulp Fiction came out. And I didn't understand it at the time. But, like, the gimp at the end had this, like, red ball in his mouth. And I remember just, like, doing that with, like, my little, like, we had a ball pit. And I would just, like, put that in my mouth. And I was like, oh, this is, like, really cool. Like, this is, like, I didn't know it was, like, being turned on. But I remember being, like, shaky when I would do it. I was just like, oh, this is like fun, like whatever. And it doesn't, I didn't get it. But like when I look back at my earliest sexual experience, like it was that, because I was getting like, I was like clenching my thighs together at like six, you know what I mean? And I was like, for some reason, having something in my mouth and like not being able to breathe was like a, like getting me excited at 6 years old, which was so weird. So I guess what I'm saying is like weird things influenced me. And like, does Pulp Fiction shape someone's sexuality? Probably not. But like, did it kind of, I guess a little bit, because now I love being gagged. Like, I don't know. That was like my first memory of it, you know?
Yeah, I guess, you know, if you're, you know, I saw Pulp Fiction when I was 30, sitting next to Jimmy Kimmel in the theater.
Wait, you were 30 when it came out?
That's how old
I
am.
No.
Yeah.
That was like 94 or 93.
I know. That's how old I am.
I don't know. I can't. I cannot do that math. Wait, what is that? Fuck. Damn. Fuck. 30?
I was 30 when I remember it. It came out in 94, right?
I think 93. It won the Oscar 94. Right?
Or, well, I saw it and okay. I couldn't, I had to see it in 94. It's because it came out in 94. So okay. I met Jimmy Kimmel in 94 and we went and saw a preview of it for K-Rock, for Kevin and Bean, at a little theater, a little private screening in Hollywood. We went and did, I don't know when it came out. What month did it come out?
September.
So toward the end. So yeah. So I was at K-Rock and met Jimmy in like April, May of 94. Uh-huh. We'd been working at K-Rock a little bit. I was working for free. And then at some point we saw a preview of it after we did the morning show. We went over this little place on Sunset Boulevard and we watched it. But, and I watched a Gimp and was delighted, but I didn't get like a heard tingling that feeling in my ball sack.
Well, you were 30, so it's a little 30. Different.
Yeah,
like
you
maybe were shaped, like, I'm 31 now, so like I'm kind of already shaped sexually, so maybe you were already shaped sexually at 30.
Jimmy was hard as a rock.
From the Gimp scene?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, really? I could see that. Is he like an, he's, well, okay.
What?
Nothing.
Is he gay?
No, I just, no.
He's gay in an ultimate way, which is he does love dudes, but I don't think.
Really?
He doesn't like them physically.
Yeah, he has a lot of babies, so he must be having a lot of sex.
He likes hanging with dudes.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Maybe bi-curious.
I don't know. I feel like if he was bi, I've shared a bed with him many nights. You
cuddle?
Know? No, he farts a lot, and he snores a lot. Here's the way. I have a gay theory. I want to share with you in a
yes.
second.
Okay.
All right. You tell me whether it holds true.
Okay.
All right. First, let me tell you about Harrelson's Own. They spent over a year formulating the best quality CBD. Works quickly, tastes good, has superior absorption methods, is completely organic, and has a fair price. So those are all the things you'd want in a CBD, formulated to provide full mind and body benefits that help you feel more stable, calm, focused, and collected. They're nano emulsified technology makes it completely water soluble, so your body absorbs it immediately. You feel it in a couple of minutes, not an hour. They've got a fun and informative video for you to learn all about it and all the hard work they put into making their product, and it's easy to find. Dawson, you're going to tell us where to find it?
Text Harrelson's Own now, and they'll send you a link to the video. And for our listeners, they'll give 10% off your purchase. Just text ADAM to 63566. Again, text ADAM to 63566.
Ooh.
All right, so gay. I had a friend who people used to like think was gay, or they go, oh, I think that guy's gay, you know, whatever it is. And I said, I have been drunk with that guy so many times, and I've slept in the same futon and stuff like drunk with that guy so many times that if he was gay, he'd make a move. Because you make like I'm straight. And if you and I got drunk and fell asleep on a futon, eventually something would happen.
Really?
That's what I'm
thinking. That's my biggest dream come true, because I loved you when I was like 10, like the man. I was like, he's so fucking hot. This is crazy.
But now I'm ancient, so
now
you know.
Now you're 56. I just did the math in my head during that little podcast break.
Well, I'll turn 56.
That's hot.
But my point is this.
That made me so happy. You have no idea. Like, I idolized you, like Jimmy Kimmel, Howard Stern. Like, that's what shaped my sexuality. Fucking girls jiggling their tits and stuff on trampolines. I was like, oh, I need to do that.
Well, Jimmy, I'd been drunk with that guy a number of times and fell asleep on a bed with him a number of times. So okay. If he was gay, he would have made a move.
Or he's not attracted to you.
Oh, damn it. I knew that was... I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
What?
That's right. If him and Huey Lewis were drunk and fell asleep on a futon, he'd definitely be sucking his dick. That's,
you don't know.
Yeah, you're maybe right. Maybe he's not into me.
He's too close to you, because I've been with like straight guys that were like too close. I mean, well, I don't know. I don't know. That's like a bad example. But I think in general, like, maybe he just wasn't attracted to you.
Who's your dream dude, other than myself, obviously?
Oh, well, Donnie, I mean, literally, Donny Osmond. If you Google us together, there's like 20 pictures of us together. Like, since I was 13, I started going to see him when I was 13, and I was like, oh, there we are.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, look at us, like, hugging. Look at him. Oh.
So there's you and Donny Osmond.
In a dream coat, Joseph. It's very biblical.
What girls?
What girls? Oh, Pamela Anderson. I'm fucking obsessed with Pamela Anderson more than anything in the whole world. I love her.
Really?
Like, I dress up for her all the time. That's why Tommy Lee fucking hates me, because I made my boyfriend recreate photos of Tommy Lee and like Pam. And he's like, how fucking could you do? I think it was his new wife. He has a current wife that's like big on social media. And I think she was like attacking me under his account, which is like,
yeah.
I mean, maybe Tommy Lee 60 fucking blackout drunk is doing this, but I don't know. He's always on the floor, right? Like his kid knocked him out because he was like super drunk. I don't know.
I think she's coming in later on this week. What day is she coming in?
She's coming in Thursday show.
Ask her about it, because honestly, fuck that shit. Like, I'm sorry, I love Pam. I don't give a fuck about Tommy. I can do photos if I want. They're iconic. You're not. Like, stop it. It's not like, oh gosh, it was a whole thing. Fuck
Where's her. The big dick factor in?
It's not a big deal. I actually don't like big dicks.
All right, let me. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, that's a shame.
No, you. You remind me so much of my last boyfriend, and he had a very like average to
That's
below average
me.
Dick.
Super average dick.
And he looked like you. You guys, and he's a stand up and stuff. So like, you give me that same energy, and I was like in love with him. Like, he didn't even, he had a below average dick, and I was like in love with him. Like, I loved fucking him. Like, it was really great. So that's why, like, you have the same vibe. He loved you too. So I'm like, can't wait. He's on social media. So like,
well, all right. So let's work this out.
Okay.
There's some women, like we're talking about that earlier, we're going like, women, what percentage would blow a guy on the first date? And most of them will go, hey, I don't do that, or I got to get to know the guy. But the reality is they like it.
Yeah.
Many do.
Right.
And then you talk about dick size, and then a lot of women go, oh, I'm not interested. I don't care. It's not a factor. But for some, it is.
You think? I feel like it's a preference. I don't know if it's a factor. I don't know if any guy's like, oh, I can't, or any girl's like, I can't date you because you have a small dick.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, but you know what? I also think that's what makes me special, because I really don't care.
Like, why don't you like a big dick? I feel like that's your weapon of choice. Like,
they stretch me out. Like, okay, so I had my vagina like sewed up like what, 3 years ago, because like I was stretched the fuck out. And they say vaginas don't stretch out because you can give birth and go, they get stretched out. So now I'm fucking tight as shit. So I was like, you know what? No big dicks. Like, literally, like if someone's like, I think I was with an 8-inch like 2 nights ago, and it was like the tip came in and that was it. And I do OnlyFans, right? So OnlyFans, people think I'm going to take like all this dick and shit. And I'm like, I can't. Like, I can literally like sit on it and kind of like tip it, and that's it.
Wait, what's the OnlyFans?
OnlyFans is like the new, like, it's like a porn hub, but like it's like personal, like girls do like their personal porn and they put it on there. But you can, I don't do porn. I do like solo stuff. I don't do like porn or fucking, but like toys and stuff.
Would you do porn?
No. Mm-mm. Well,
I mean, if the right amount of money was involved.
No, not like porn where you like just fuck random like porn stars. Like, no, but I like filming.
But what
and
if
stuff.
Someone filmed Donny Osmond banging you? Would you?
Hell yeah.
You'd film.
I mean, I love filming. I love filming stuff, but I don't know if I'd put it out there. Like, even OnlyFans was a little risque for me, because I do YouTube and like all this stuff, and like my fans. Like, okay, so here's the thing: when I go,
well,
to,
how does OnlyFans work?
You charge a membership. It's like a membership site. So like, there's a membership. You pay like $20. I think mine's like $10 now. If you guys want to join it, it's like $10 now, and they just get like content. So you post like, you can post anything. You can post like just being nude, or you can post like touching yourself. You can post fucking. Like, you can post that if you want. It's like personal.
Is the process, they get to ask you to do stuff? Is that where the thing kicks in?
So, no. Yes. And yes and no. So, like, half the people probably are just watching just to see what content you put out there. They just want to see you naked or, like, whatever you're doing. Then the other half, they can send you private messages and be like, can you suck on your toe? Like, I had a request for, like, sucking on, like, my dirty foot. Like, go get your feet dirty and suck on it. And I was like, that sounds, like, kind of gross, but I'll do it. And you ask for a tip. So, like, you'll make the video, you send them the video, and you can put a tip price. So, you're, like, $50.
Right. Do they, you know who they are. I mean, here's the thing. They can't stiff you.
Right.
But I mean, if they do stiff you, then no more requests from ToeJam37.
Right. They can't stiff you because OnlyFans is big. OnlyFans is basically like YouTube. It's like a big platform. Like, it's reputable. That's why they take 30% because they're so on it, you know?
So they would ask you to like do something with a dildo.
Yeah, I get a lot of requests for that. I think that's pretty vanilla, but yeah, that's like the main one.
But they have to, they can't do it in real time. Like, it can't be like on the phone with you.
No. It's like old school. That's really old school.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm old school.
Okay.
I never got the phone sex.
I don't get that at all.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
right?
Even with like boyfriend, I'm like, no, like that's weird. That's so weird. I get nothing from that. I'm like, this is.
I feel like phone sex is like phone food. Give me the fucking Grubhub. Exactly. Like, I want to eat.
Exactly.
I want to talk about it.
I feel the exact same way. I tried to do long distance. I'm like, this doesn't work. Like, no, thank you. Like, I need you now. So, yeah, I agree. It's weird. But that's not around anymore. No one does phone sex anymore.
No, I mean, I know.
Yeah, calling anyways. Yeah.
What the, and how much money can you make doing that?
OnlyFans?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Like, I'm telling you, like, fucking changed my life. Like, I was making bank, you know, I did really well for myself, whatever. But once I started OnlyFans, holy shit, I was like, I'm like set. I'm going to do it for like 5 years and just retire. Like, it's amazing. And I actually love doing it. Like, it's really cool. You can make like a ton of money, but I like love doing it.
Are there many more fucked up guys out there than I can imagine?
Yeah, probably, right?
Is that what's going on?
I think, well, it's not, wait, why? Why are you saying fucked up? Because like the people who subscribe to it?
I just mean like if you go on some of these porn sites, right? And there'll be some chick, a pop up, like, I'm Jasmine, like, I'll perform for you. Or like, and then there's some box or some advertiser next to it with like a paint can shaker with a fucking Mylar sleeve in it. And some guy's got his dick in it and it's going 80 miles an hour. And I think to myself, who are all these fucking people? Why don't you just look at some titties and beat off?
They're not like that anymore. Like, it's so much more like, I don't know. Everyone's just so much more into kinks and stuff now, you know? Like, some
That's
people.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is it like a video game generation that's just fucking burnt out? Like,
yeah.
Like, so like when I was young, porn was porn. We didn't have requests. The request is these people are naked and they're fucking, right? But it wasn't like, oh, she's got to step on a cockroach and then fucking make him sniff her foot or whatever. I didn't need an endorphin rush. It was just porn, you know? Like too many big screens, too many crawls, too many videos, too much coming at you, too much 3D.
Right.
Everyone's like pleasure center is burnt out.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say, who said that? I was just listening to like a different, like some show or something where they said this generation has like the least amount of sex of any generation. Like even the 50s where they had like separate fucking beds. Like no one's having sex anymore because everyone's just like on their phones, like looking at shit and stuff. And I totally believe that. Like people tell me all the time, like, oh, I haven't had sex like with my girlfriend for like 6 months. And I was like, do this. Like they asked me if I could call myself like Sarah or something or some, whatever the girlfriend's name was, because he's like, I haven't had sex with like Sarah in like 6 months. And like, and then, so I'll like talk back and forth. Here's the other thing with OnlyFans, like, and I don't know if everyone does this, but I'm not like a porn star. I'm like a, like, they know me for my YouTube videos. I film every day for my channel. I have a YouTube channel where I post every day for the past 13 years. And so I started in 2006. And so people know me. So like what it is like I talk back and forth with people on OnlyFans because every other platform, I just could never see every message. So OnlyFans, I talk back and forth and it's like very personal. Like it's very like, it's not like here's my pussy. It's like, oh, like let's talk. I don't know. Like people like the talking experience of it too.
You didn't find that when you're working as an escort, did you?
No, because I was doing YouTube, but no one knew anything about me or anything.
No, but the Johns, as we'll call them.
Oh, okay. So old school. I
or
love
we'll
it.
Call
I
them
love
the Ralphs.
that was cute.
Hang out by the dumpster. They didn't want to do a whole lot of chatting. They wanted to get to sexing,
no.
Or they wanted to talk.
No. Oh, I have a story. Well, okay.
Tell me a story.
It's not a story, but there was a guy that I was like, I idolized, right? And I was so excited. He flew me to New York like once a month to like, whatever, like as an escort. We didn't even like have sex sometimes. Like honestly, like he would fly me out there for like 4 or 5 days, pay me like $10,000 for like 5 days or whatever. Like we maybe had sex once, but he like wanted to talk to me. He had like a wife and everything, a whole ass wife and shit, and like wanted to talk. Like literally. Like,
he's a guy we'd recognize.
100%, but I got in trouble because I did do a video about it and I got kind of like in trouble about it. So like, whatever. But because I say names. I have said names on my thing before. Like if someone's an asshole, I'll say their name. But like this guy was really nice and sweet. So like I'm like, you know, whatever. But yeah, and he just wanted to talk. It was so weird. And he would cry. So we'd had sex and then like I remember he cried like one or two times and he like cried after. And he's like, I'm just so sorry. Like I know you're just like, he was kind of mean too. I guess he was kind of mean. He called me like a whore and stuff. He's like, I know you're just a whore, but it's like, oh, okay.
Wow.
I guess it's dark. I thought he was nice, but maybe that's a little like a little crude.
Is he a guy that we could never imagine doing this?
Yes.
It's always those guys, isn't it?
Always. Well, he's dead now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Anyways, I got in trouble because I literally got in so much trouble about it. Well, I didn't get in trouble. I just felt bad. I have a nice heart. I'm like trying not to expose people.
No, I get it. Like, I think a lot of those guys, just at the end of the day, they just want someone to talk to and listen to, sprinkle in a blowjob here and there. But
no, they do. I know you're not.
You can listen and blow a guy, can't you?
No. Because
really?
People do try and talk to me sometimes, and I'm like, oh, no, it's like ruining the experience. I hate people like that trying to have like a conversation.
So I couldn't complain about red turn arrows and why they're
necessary. Well, if it's you.
Oh, I could.
Yeah, because you're like you, so it's different.
So
celebrities have different, like, rules.
But you found that a lot of these Johns, we'll call them, they just wanted, a lot of them just wanted, like, companionship.
No. Like, no. 98% probably just want to fuck
by the dumpster.
And get away. Like, get out. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, what is it Charlie Sheen said? Like, he pays them to leave. He's like, I don't have to pay for sex. I pay for them to go after. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's, like, a pretty common thing amongst people who get escorts or whatever. But now they have you sign NDAs. Like, towards the end of it, like, what was this, like, 2010 or something? Like, they make you, like, sign NDAs and shit. So it wasn't as fun. Like, I liked, like, taking pictures and talking about it. And, like, now, like, they were getting a little more strict. So
they would show up with an NDA.
Or, like, if you met them at, like, a hotel or, like, I went to people's houses where they were full-on married with some. I was like, this is fucking gross. But, yeah, they have a sign.
Pictures of the family up?
Yeah.
They didn't even have the decency to slap them down, huh?
Is that what people do in real life? I feel like that's just the movies. I don't think slap them.
Well, I don't know. Like, I feel like if I were you.
Right.
And I walked into some guy's house and he was, like, 45 and I saw a whole bunch of pictures capsized, like, just pictures flat on the mantelpiece. I'd be like, that's probably not pictures of his high school football team. That's probably his wife and his kids.
Well,
right?
That's not your job to say it. That's on that dude. It's not on you if he has a wife. Like, that's not on you.
When you go to the house, do you have to kind of pretend like you're there to do something else? I mean, is there a lot of small talk?
No.
Or are you hungry? Or I got a big screen TV.
Well, can I tell you? I think I got the like I said, they you can request what kind of girl you like, whatever your dream girl is. You can so I was always the request. Like, I mean, back then I was doing a lot of coke, so I was a lot littler than I am now, but I was still considered like thick, right? I was like a thick girl, so they would love to feed me, and it was weird. And I was like, they wanted me to be like fatter, and I was like tinier back then. I was like a size like 4 maybe, which is like not skinny, but tinier. And they would want to feed me. And then they would like, it was so weird. And I was like, do you want to eat? Do you want to eat? And I was like, no, I'm going to have like sex. Like, I don't want to eat. But they would like want to like eat and then fuck and then eat again. And I was like, or maybe guys just do that. I don't know. Cause I don't know. It was weird. No boyfriends of mine ever did that. So I think they were like feeders.
Do when they would request, they'd go for a type, right? They go, I want thick or I want skinny or I want the 10 year old boy or whatever.
Tits, yeah. Fake
right.
Tits, whatever.
Did they ever not get what they wanted? Like, did you ever get the wires crossed or you showed up and they're like, nah, I wanted the 10-year-old boy, not you?
Yes. That's happened a few times. It has happened, for sure.
How does that work?
Well, I don't take it personally. I'm like, okay. Like, they don't have to pay. So, like, if you're only there for, like, let's say you're there a minute out, it's like you clock in, you text because you have a driver, right? So the driver knows, they'll text the little, like, the person that's in charge of you or whatever that booked it for you. And, like, if you're only there a minute and come out, they're not going to charge them.
Right.
But that only happened literally like a few times. Because even if you're not what you ordered, like, they're still like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, okay.
Drivers.
Drivers, yeah.
What kind of gents are they?
Nice. They're sweet. I always had like Armenian drivers for some reason. This was before Uber. This Uber was like not a thing. So maybe now people just Uber. But like, I had an Armenian driver who was so fucking nice to me. He was like, he would walk me into my house. Oh my God. When I think about these stories, holy shit. I thought he was really nice, and I'm thinking like he was probably a creep because he used to like take my underwear. Like, I would like change to go in the shower. I'm like, can you just wait in the shower? Because like, here's my other fear: showering alone. Like psycho shit. I always think I'm gonna like get murdered in the shower, so I don't like to shower by myself. So like, I would be like, can you just like wait here till I shower? And I would like take off I lived in like a studio. I'd like take off all my dirty clothes and put it, and my underwear would always go missing. And honestly, I think he took it. And now I'm thinking about that. I'm like, that's creepy and dark. And I would whatever. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah. Well. He probably took the underwear if the underwear was missing.
No, I know he did, but in my head, I was like thinking, oh, that's weird, but I didn't think anything of it. But now I'm thinking that's probably like a perverted thing he did. I don't know. Whatever.
I got to say, he probably stole those underwear.
I haven't talked about these stories in so long because, like, I swear to God, everyone probably thinks I'm on here as like a hooker or something. Like, I'm not a hooker anymore, but like I like have a legit life. But I haven't talked about this in so long, so it's like really weird.
What is your – give us your schedule. What is
– now?
Yeah. What time's the alarm go off? What time do you go to bed? Like, what do you do? Like, when you wake up in the morning, like, where do you go? What do you do?
I promise I'm not exciting. I'm, like, the most boring person in the whole world. Like, so fucking boring. Like, I have four YouTube channels, a podcast, my OnlyFans, my Patreon, my private Snapchat. I do so much online that I have no time to ever interact with the outside world.
Just speaking of the outside world, you're prude of a dad. No discussions with him?
About what?
Well, I mean, you know, we're living... Okay. You know, I grew up... Because I'm an old guy, and I grew up with your Christy Canyons of the world, you know, like porn stars, you know. They live... I grew up with them. Like, they lived in the valley, you know.
You grew up here?
Yeah, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, that's hot.
And they, for some...
I love that. I love a valley guy, for sure. They're dirty.
I'm North Hollywood guy.
Oh, you're real grungy. That's real grimy.
Yeah, I wasn't even Valley Village.
North Hollywood.
I'll bring it old school.
Damn, you haven't moved very far.
No, I haven't. Sad. But back in the day, when Christy Canyon was making porn movies, they were showing up in theaters. And there was a good chance that her dad and immediate family members didn't really know what she was up to. Like, right. Unless they went to the movie theater, in which case, had a scene from a movie called Hardcore with George C. Scott, which you can look up. But the point is this. Now it's impossible for your dad to not know what you're doing. Is that correct?
Yes, but also, like, if someone starts bringing it up, he's like, don't tell me. Even before I was doing, like, just regular YouTube, like, just that's all he knew before. Because he now knows that I was an escort because he, like, found me literally passed out in urine. You know what I mean? He's like, he
found
knows.
You what?
Like, I was, like, when I was, like, 18, I kind of had, like, a little incident. And, like, he came and, like, obviously I was, like, in fucking urine. I was, like, overdosing and shit. And, like, this crazy shit. This was a long time ago. My dad found me, kind of knew, but I didn't really open up to him now. So basically my point is now he kind of knows. But as far as, like, videos and what I do now, if people even bring me up, they're like, oh, I just don't want to know. Because we're kind of in a good place. Like, my dad and I are in a good space now. Like, I see him, like, once a month, and he's, like, more accepting, and he just doesn't, like, want to know.
It's got to be a part of him that sort of appreciates it from a business standpoint, right?
My dad told me, like, so I do music, too. So I did a full tour last year. I did a whole tour. We did, what, like, 20 cities. My dad came to my LA show and my Cleveland show because he's from Cleveland, and he was like, after that, he's like, wow, I'm so, like, proud of you. Because the people who come to my show are, like, young girls. Like, it's crazy. So I have a weird demographic.
I didn't know. I felt bad. We didn't get the music thing.
No, it's okay. I know a lot of people always want to know about me being, like, a hooker. And I like talking about it because I just don't that often. But, no, I do, like, music. And so, like, my dad was, like, so impressed because, like, I had these sold-out shows or whatever. And, like, you know, dancers and all the shit. And he was like, wow, I'm, like, really proud of you. And I was like, oh, thank you. Because that's what I'm saying. Like, this OnlyFans stuff is, like, stuff I like doing. I don't need to do it. Like, I've made a really good, like, whatever. But I like doing it.
Are you a musician?
I sing.
You don't play the skin flute?
No. What's the skin flute? Maybe not. I don't know. What is it?
Skin flute is blowjob.
Oh, is that? That's a cute term.
Yeah, the skin flute.
Skin flute.
See, I don't know what pegging is. You don't know what a skin flute is. This is a...
Educational?
It's a generation gap. You know what I mean? I'm old school with my skin flute. Your new wave with your pegging.
Yeah.
But yet, here we go. We've bridged a gap.
This is so fun.
Good.
I love it. And you make really intense eye contact right now. It's so cool.
I do. I'm normally accused of not doing that.
I know. My one friend came on this and he's like, he won't look at you. And you're making the most intense eye contact. And
I've mixed it up.
I know. And it's intimidating because, like, most people don't look at me in the eye. So this is like, I'm like looking around now and I'm never like this.
They're titty gazing.
They just don't, like, you know, they just look everywhere else.
I can do that.
Yeah, you're like intense though, and you don't have a wedding ring on, so it's like really like confusing. All of it's very, but I love it. Okay, whatever.
I have swollen fingers.
You also have huge hands. Your hands are ginormous.
Well, they're fucked up from boxing and construction. Oh. So I'm actually like, I try to size a ring on. I can't straighten my pinky out.
Wait, actually? Ooh.
Yeah, I have fucked up hands.
That's kind of scary, but it's kind of cool. God, you're so mask. You're a carpenter. You're a boxer. You had the man show.
I fucked my hands up doing that shit for so long. Like, I'm literally going and getting injections into my hand in the next few days to try to be able to straighten. I can't put a glove on and shit. It's getting a little out of control.
Oh, well, it's because you're getting older.
Yeah, I'm getting old. That's what's happening. Yeah, I know.
That's cute, though. It's cute. It's cute when, like, guys get older because you were so, like, a stud back in the day. And it's, like, cute when you get, like, older and you're, like, married and you have, like, hand problems and stuff. Because you know what I mean? You look at David Spade, who was, like, such a stud. Like, he's like, fuck all these playmates. And now he's like, oh, I'm, like, sad, you know?
I think he's still fucking playmates. No?
I've seen who he's fucking.
Oh, you have? Yeah. Well, they're younger than him.
No. That's going up. You know what I mean?
Really?
Like, I'd probably be considered young to him now. But, he used to get, like, the hot, like, 21-year-old, like, hot playmates. But
Well, you know, for guys, I got a couple theories. It's kind of my Pete Davidson theory, which is once you fuck a hot chick, the word gets out, and then you get to fuck other hot chicks.
Oh, yeah. But I think it's the dick thing, right? Like, it's the big dicks. Because girls are like, oh, my God, he's got a big dick. And when you're young, that's, like, cool. Like, oh, he's got a big dick. Let me fuck him. Like, Pete Davidson, I guess, has, like, a, what, 11 inches or something. So I'm like, I
yeah, whatever. He's not funny.
You don't think?
I don't care. I think it's a big dick, man.
If you're funny, you can get any girl, too. Like, fucking the ugliest people, like, get. Like, it's comedians. Like, Harlan Williams, like, really? I went on a date with him.
You did?
Oh, God. And he, like, left. This was the time I was celibate. He saw my blog, and he saw, like, his friend brought it up. And he's like, oh, my God, you're celibate? And I'm like, yeah, I've been celibate for, like, 2 months. And he's like, I gotta go. Like, literally left, like, 2 minutes later after, like, we were sitting there having, like, dinner. I was like, okay, like, you're... What? Like, I don't... Ugh.
He didn't make some weird bird sounds before he left? That's his, no. That's his trademark.
Wait, is it? I don't know. I don't know. I liked him, and now I don't. So that's my Harlan Williams story. See, I tell you, I'll expose people if they're, like, assholes.
I like Harlan Williams, but I never dated him.
No one has. See, he's single. He has, like, no kids. Like, he's...
All right.
No hate.
Tightened up your pussy. How did that work?
I love this interview. This is the best podcast I've been on.
Thank you.
No, honestly, I was so excited because, like, people were, like, scaring me about you that you're, like, really, like, standoffish. And I was like, fuck, this is going to be so awkward, but this is great. Pussy tightening.
Yeah.
It's just, like, getting stitched up. It's not like a big, it's like a, I had a, like, lipo, and then I think they did my pussy too. I think it was, like, not lipo, but they tighten it somehow.
They tighten it.
There's stitches in there. So, like, after you get it done, like, you can't have sex for, like, 6 weeks.
Do they dissolve, or they have to take stitches out?
These were the dissolvable ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should do edible stitches. So now you're.
Who would want to do that?
How do they figure out how much to tighten you up?
I guess it just depends. Like, if they're hanging out, push them in. But mine weren't hanging out. It was actually interior.
Mm-hmm. So you don't want to get with Pete Davidson now because you don't want to undo all that work.
Hell no. Because I was losing sensitivity. So they can actually, it's kind of like, speaking of transgender, it's kind of like the transgender reassignment surgery where you can actually put sensitivity into male to female. So, like, a lot of people are like, oh, well, if a transgender, like, female doesn't have a clit, she won't feel anything. But they do. They can put nerves in there. So, like, with mine, they put, like, it resensitized it as opposed to desensitizing it. So it's like, okay, so my OnlyFans, I did one where I have, like, this massager. I put a massager on me. I'll fucking, like, squirt in, like, 2 seconds because it's so fucking sensitive. It's insane. It's, like, the craziest thing ever. So it's, like, not a good thing either because it's, like, what the fuck? Like, guys will, like, start and then I was like, sorry. But that's only the clip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Different. So sensitive now.
What percentage of guys are into squirters?
I don't think as many as you would think. I think guys like the idea of it, but then, like, some people, like, get kind of weird. Not weird, but I think some people are, like, not as into it as you think. I'm not into it. I'm not like, let me just show you, like, ew, I don't like. Because sometimes pee comes out sometimes, and that's kind of nasty. It's like, ugh.
Female orgasmic incontinence.
What's that mean, incontinence?
That's Drew. That's a Loveline vestige. This is basically pee coming out.
Is it?
Well, if you're orgasmic and you're incontinent, then that is pee coming out.
What's incontinent mean, though? I'm, like, confused.
Pees yourself.
Oh, well, I'm not incontinent. I don't pee myself on the regular. And
no,
like,
but the orgasm can force it.
Yes, right.
That's female.
It happens.
You. Yeah. Orgasmic.
Naturally born female, yes.
You.
Yeah.
In certain phases.
Yeah.
And then the incontinence is what I'm talking about.
Pee myself. Okay, so that's me.
That's you.
Okay. I love that term. I'm going to put that in my Instagram bio.
Yeah. Give me full credit.
At mention you, okay, well.
So, all right, music. What kind of venues are you playing?
No, nothing big. We played the Globe in L.A. That was cool. It was like 2,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. It's cute.
That's a big venue, 2,000 people.
I think the biggest we played was Boston Lynn Auditorium. It was like, I don't know how many that was, though. That one wasn't sold out, though. Like, a lot of these we don't sell out. Like, maybe, like, 3/4 full. Like, it's not like I'm, like, killing it. I like it, though. Like, music is, like, fun for me. I like Britney Spears. So it's like, that's another fun, like, thing. We made good money off of it, but it's not where I, like, make my income. But, like, it was fun. I love it. I love touring. So fun.
Is there, if you could take, if you had to give up sex or music, you got to pick one.
Music. Easy.
You give up music.
Yeah. It's just, like, fun. It's just, like, bubblegum music. I like a ton of music videos and stuff like that. And I love, like, those cost me money. But, yeah, I'd give up music for sure. I mean, sex is, like, the best. Like, who's going to, like, who's going to give up sex for anything? Nobody.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's,
I
mean, nothing.
What's your next move? Like, what's your plan? You want to get a long-term boyfriend? You want to settle into something, like, more consistent?
That, I really hate this question. I hate when people are like, what's your future?
And then are there rules? Because then if you get a boyfriend, then is he like, hey, no more of this and no more of that?
My fucking last boyfriend was like that. He knew what I like did like before. He didn't want me to post sexy stuff online. And I was like, that's how you like knew me and got me. And then he also hated that I was like so slutty. I'm like, also how you knew me and got me. So like, he was great. He was cool. But yeah, it was bad. So here's the thing. If I had a boyfriend and he was like really uncomfortable with it, I wouldn't do it. Obviously, like fucking, I don't care that much. But for now, I'm single and like, whatever. I would do this anyways if I wasn't posting it online. So I don't know. I don't know what the next is. Like, yeah, what I don't know.
I dated a stripper a million years ago.
You did?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like you. You seem like a Catholic person.
No, I'm sort of atheist.
You are? You seem hella religious, like like now in your older age, you know, like not back
then. No. I'm not religious at all.
Oh, so weird.
I'm conservative in the sense that I kind of know what works, you know, sort of hard work and family and, you know, what works well for people, like, you know, wait, get married, have kids after you're married, you know, get married after you finish your education, you know, find a career. Like, I know all the shit that works.
Right.
Doesn't mean I
don't follow it.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like a nutrition. It's like a personal trainer going diet and exercise.
Right,
like it works.
Right.
It's not that fun, but it's basic. It works. Like I understand what works.
Right.
So I think people think I'm like traditional or conservative or uptight or something. I'm just kind of explaining what works.
Okay. I got it. Yeah.
But, I had a stripper girlfriend when I was like, but this wasn't your kind of strip joint. It was like kind of more like Flashdance or something.
Oh.
But it's true. At some point, I was like 26 or something. And then we did move in together.
Oh.
And then I was like, yeah, you should stop stripping.
Oh,
so cute. I'm guilty too.
I think that's cute. Like I'm telling you, if a guy said that to me, I was like, oh, that's cute. He like cares. If he doesn't, I feel like you don't care. I think that's cute. I think it is weird to like date someone, especially like a stripper, because she's going out and getting touched as opposed to me. I'm like just online. No one's touching me. So I think that's a little different. But at the same time, I still think that's super hot. If my last boyfriend was like, stop doing this, I would have. But he never cared that much. So I was like, fuck you. Like, he didn't, like, love me like that. We didn't move in together. It wasn't like that. I mean, he said he loved me, but who knows?
Kind of weird. I mean, like, when you're with somebody and you kind of know, like, this is going to expire pretty soon.
Wait, what's going to expire?
Well, I mean, like, those relationships that you're in and you're going, you know, we're in a relationship, but this is not really... It's going to end. Like, you're sitting watching a movie and you kind of know you're not going to live in the movie theater.
I've never been like that. And with him, I'm like, we are going to be married and have babies like 1,000%. I've always thought that. I never foresee the end. So when I get broken, I've always gotten dumped. When I get dumped, I never see it coming. And I start having like, I literally have mental breakdowns online. Like, if you look at my most popular videos, it's me fucking crying over boyfriends because I have like mental breakdowns over it. So like, I don't know how that is. Like, when you can see the end of a relationship, I wish I knew, but I don't know.
So you're always blindsided.
I always am blindsided. I hang on to the very end. And then someone's like, I cheat on you. I'm like, it's fine. Like, I'm like, I hang on, you know, until they like literally block me.
I talked to a girl on Saturday and she said, I don't care if you cheat. Just like, don't bring it home or don't tell me about it. And I was like, what?
Really?
Is that really true?
Not me. If you cheat me, I'll cut your fucking dick off. I hate being cheated on now. Back in the day, I got cheated on all the time. And I was like, it's fine. Because I wanted, like, the guy had money or whatever. And I was like, he needs to take care of me. But now that I, like, make my own shit, it's like, don't fucking cheat on me. That's, like, the only rule. Because it's embarrassing.
Rule.
Especially because, like, not to be whatever, but, like, you know, like, people know me online. So, like, I put my boyfriends online. So, obviously, like, they do it to piss me off and humiliate me. So, it's like, it's not even the act of it. I'm like, just don't humiliate me. Like, I'm some little bitch I can be cheated on. So, people know not to do that now because I make videos about people. I exposed every boyfriend that's cheated on me. I'll say their name. I said their name on my YouTube and they got exposed.
All right, no cheating.
Who were you talking to on Saturday? Were you out? Like, I don't understand. Were you on like what were you doing?
I was doing like kind of like a corporate thing, and there's like a lot of different types of people floating around in sort of the green room and
like working at a thing. Like you were doing like entertainment?
Yeah, I was doing stand up.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I'd rather just blow a dude by a dumpster, get paid, and get the fuck out of there.
It's fun.
I got to do 20 minutes of stand-up. It's brutal.
Only 20? Damn. I know you probably make bank doing that.
You know, it's okay. It was mostly just for the... I had jobs that were so miserable and paid so little that it doesn't really take much to get me out of the house to stand there and tell stories for 20 minutes and get paid. You don't have to pay me that much because like, I'm so used to not... doing so much shit for almost free.
Right.
You know?
Same, yeah, mood. I'll do something for like $5,000. I'm like, okay, $10,000. Like, I'll do anything. I don't care.
Yeah, because you, I don't know if you had regular jobs in your life.
I did. It was awful.
Yeah, you work at McDonald's, you stand behind the grill, and you get $3 an hour.
Yeah.
You fucking do anything for $5,000. True. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and that's the problem now. Like, not to be like me being old, but like young people now, they just get to be social media influencers right away. They don't have to like fucking work or do anything. I was like, ugh. So they get $20K for a brand deal. And, like, that's it. I was like, that's not fair. Like, you should struggle at some point in your life. But.
Well, if it's any consolation, you're 31.
Ugh.
I'm old. And I don't think I made a penny in show business until I was 31.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, well, it was a different like time.
It's a different time. Yeah.
Well, like, okay, that makes me feel better then.
Yeah, like I don't know when's your birthday?
May 8th, 1988.
Ooh, I'm May
27th. Oh, ew! But you're Gemini.
Oh.
Right. Oh my God, May 27th is my last boyfriend's birthday. This is so fucking weird. That's so weird. Ew, and he was a Gemini.
Oh, now it's only an 85-minute blowjob.
Oh, my God. Should I show you my dad? You look just like my dad. It's so crazy. I feel like if I showed you a picture of him.
Should have wrapped this up.
No, let me just show you. You literally look like my father, and it's, like, tripping me out because I feel like you're talking to me like my dad, and it's, like, really, really weird. And, like, oddly turned on by it, which is, like, very fucked up. I know. Here's my dad. Like, oh, my God, you look like him. Like, okay, this is crazy. Let me show you, like.
Does your dad look like Elliot Gould?
Wait, hold on. Let me show you, like, here he is. Here's a face photo.
All right, hold on.
Don't you think you look like him?
Phone. Dad looks looks a little like me, little like Mitt Romney.
So do you. Wait, are you like Greek? What are you?
No, I'm Italian.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, come on.
Yeah. All right. But let's not think of me as your dad.
Oh, I love it. You're at the same mannerisms, the same like you're talking. It's so cute. I love it. This is like my daddy therapy right here. I love it. Okay, thanks.
Phone back. all right. Let's give you a plug. The Dish with Trish on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
And Spotify now. We're on
and
Spotify
now. Mm-hmm. And the YouTube channel, Trisha Paytas. That's Paytas. And also website is trishyland.com. What are we missing?
That's pretty much everything. Yeah. Thank you for that.
I'm going to plug myself a little. I'm doing live stand-up everywhere. Cleveland, Indianapolis, St. Louis. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. You can pre-order my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, as well. That's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all that. And uppity, I got a bunch of movies on Netflix right now, so you can check those out. We're going to do the news in a second, but Uppity's been trending on Netflix, so check that out. And we'll take a break. We'll do the news. And thank you, Trisha.
Thank you for having me. It's fun.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
ACS fans, get it on. We wanted to take a moment to tell you, if you haven't signed up for the Carolla newsletter yet, you're missing out. Every Saturday, you'll get exclusive video content you can't get anywhere else, behind-the-scenes stories, and a new giveaway each and every week. We've already given out an all-expense-paid trip to L.A. to watch the Super Bowl with Ace. And this week, one lucky winner will get a signed Carolla DVD set, docs, films, and specials from Chassis, all signed by the Ace Man himself. Enter for your chance to win at CarollaNewsletter.com today.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.